again very soon.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news today.
Many of you are very talented, but if you really want to wow me today, you're going to have to show something extra. Little thing I point heart.
I think his mom, drank when she was pregnant or something.
Ah! Attaboy, JD. Hustle, hustle.
I believe in you, JD. Don't listen to those motherfuckers.
I know your heart's on the football field, but I need your head in history class, Mr. Vance.
Yes, Vance, yes.
That stupid freak will never make the team. He's a loser.
Fuck you, Gavin. You and your dad are both gay.
Damn it, Vance, I wish I had 100 of you. If only you could get those godforsaken test scores up.
If you ask a hot chick to prom, I'll give you a C, because history smiles upon the bold.
Asking me for my permission to ask my daughter to prom is a really classy move.
Vance passed history. Now let's go beat the shit out of the Soros High Goblins.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Fortune tanto vulnera, scrivi l'antibus ocellis. Fortune amici vulnera, sultra di prevenis.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, it was 434 days ago that Trump was being sworn in. And for the first 6 months of his administration, he basically was keeping every promise he said. He was devastating the whole globalist system at every level, cutting off their funding, shutting down the border, dialing back wars. It was amazing. And then the Epstein stuff came out, and for whatever reason, there was a cover-up. And I never saw any evidence of Trump being involved with Epstein, but certainly people in his orbit, like Ludnig. And that really is the point when Musk left and said it's because of Epstein cover-up, he's been vindicated, that we saw Trump start to turn. And it is so painful because we needed Trump to succeed. And as bad as Trump is, the Democrats are still far worse, but that doesn't really matter because this Iran war has already derailed the recovery. There's still a glimmer of hope if it all stops right now, but it's not going to stop right now. And we've tracked and told you exactly how this would unfold because it's one of the most war game scenarios in history. And now it's happened, like we said, and now it's official ground war. 30 days ago, I said, it'll go to a ground war in a few months. Oh, I was a traitor. I was a fearmonger. Now it's, we got to have ground war, total regime change, more troops, calling up all the Marines, getting ready to call up the Army Reservists. Let's go, go, go. What does that mean? We'll break it all down straight ahead. Trump's now saying he'll destroy their civilian water supply, a serious war crime.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And They're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a foundation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
All right, we have some massive guests today. Just incredible information to cover. The times we're living in are so historic and so fraught with incredible danger that I'm sitting here, I know, speaking to millions of people on radio and TV and the internet, and I'm just trying to come up with the words that quantify and really define how serious the situation is. Cut out military deaths and terrible things like that that we all don't want. The guarantee of the Trump recovery failing and the world going into a world depression, which is what the globalists had set us up for, that is a guarantee unless this war was shut down in the next few weeks. Already, it's caused shockwaves that'll go on for over a year in food production, energy, you name it, inflation. And there is no way this is stopping anytime soon because the Iranians are not going to give up. And I predicted 30 days ago when this started that this would happen because we have the Pentagon assessment that I agree with. And they told Trump, less than 10% chance of getting the regime change he wanted. But because preemptive strikes for regime change is illegal, even under U.S. law, not to mention international, they claimed it was to destroy their weapons. But now all the talking heads, Mike Pompeo and Mark Levin and all of them, are saying we have to invade the whole country. We have to find all the enriched uranium. Well, you could hide in a footlocker enough enriched uranium to make an atomic bomb. So the idea in a country three times the size of Iraq with 90 million people, now Mark Levin says, yeah, we got to take the whole country. We got to find the uranium. So you notice this is mission creep. And then Israel advised Trump to kill the Ayatollah. When anybody assessing that knows will say that will make them fight 10 times harder. And then as soon as they launch this war that Israel preemptively struck to drag us into, we're all called traitors, from Joe Kent to myself, enemies, Iranian agents, scum, for saying the mullahs aren't going to fall very quickly, if at all. They'll close the Strait of Hormuz. All the military experts, CIA, you name it, agree. We can't keep it open unless we fully take the Strait of Hormuz on the other side, on the Iranian side. And now you've got Hegseth and Bessent and Trump saying, well, we'll get the Strait soon. It'll take some time, but it's going to be incremental. And there's all these dozens of islands filled with hidden military and weapons and booby traps, surrounded by sheer cliffs, multi-thousand feet and mountains. And the Iranians are saying, please come into our trap. And I've been saying for weeks, before they even sent the Marine Expeditionary Forces, they'll send the Marines in as pawn sacrifice to land them on the beach to be slaughtered to enrage Americans to then accept full war. just like the Lusitania got us into World War I. It was a passenger ship, but carrying munitions on record. The Germans for months put ads in the New York Times and others saying, do not sail on the ship. They finally published one more article in the New York Times saying, all right, we're going to sink it next time it comes in to try to dock. And they sunk it. And hundreds of Americans died. And World War I begun. Millions killed. And so it's the same story. Kill the mullah to make sure they don't give up. Get us into the war, claiming it's just about getting rid of uranium and then missiles. And now we are deep, deep, deep into this. And the ramifications alone will cause massive inflation that will increase interest rates, as I told you a month ago. Now they've announced they're going to increase them. If you think it's going to hurt the U.S. economy, it's going to hurt other countries even worse, which has a ripple effect back on us. And then all the numbers, all the math, all of it that I warned you about over a year ago with economists saying specifically the Strait of Hormuz is the globalist trap to kill the Trump recovery if they can convince him to do it. And Trump, remember, 27 days ago declared victory. He's done it each day since then. And he's gotten increasingly angry. And he's had Hegseth say, hey, we negotiate with bombs. We're going to terrorize you till you submit. But the Iranians have not submit. Now, we all see hundreds of these videos a day, but here's just one with audio in Tehran. As dozens, because they're now not just dropping 2,000-pound bombs, they're dropping 5,000-pound bombs on neighborhoods. And so you can have a camera 3-4 miles away, and you see these giant explosions that fill the frame. And now we have the satellite images of these bombings, and they are destroying, with these raids, neighborhoods the size of Lower Manhattan every day, just destroying everything. And then Mark Levin and all of them say, well, we did that in World War II. Yeah, and then we passed laws against it after that. By the way, the Germans, and I'm not defending Hitler, but it's a fact, did not target civilian infrastructure during the Blitz on London until the British launched an attack with Lancasters to bomb Berlin to piss Hitler off to make him change his attacks on civilian infrastructure because the British Air Force was almost destroyed. Hitler took the bait, started targeting civilian infrastructure, took the Brits from 90%+ against the war to 95% for the war overnight, and the rest is history. So did what Hitler do to the Brits make them give up or fight harder? So with audio, let's just play one bombing raid of our government dropping giant bombs all over neighborhoods. Here it is.
ساختمون لرزید بیشرف سه تا موشک پشت سر هم اومد دیدی؟ هیچکی هم تو خونه هایی همه در رفتن.
That's the aftermath of one bomb. Here comes more.
اومد اومد اونا اونا دیدی؟
And it just goes on and on in this one raid. We have the aftermath. Huge parts of the city, which is residential areas, each one of those bombs is destroying multiple buildings. Just indiscriminate, total destruction. Now, Trump has now announced he's going to hit their water supply. About half their water supply comes from these desalinization plants. They're already in a massive drought there. And under U.S. law and international law, targeting water supplies is a war crime. Trump threatens to blow up all desalinization plants in Iran. Legal expert says targeting civilian sites will be collective punishment, which is prohibited under laws of war. Yeah, even the Nazis didn't target water supplies. Now, the Russians blew up some of their own dams to flood the Germans invading. But you don't do that. But Trump doesn't understand the laws of war. Again, he's very smart in many ways. He's even said himself he didn't understand the military. Remember, he thought they were all John Wayne, they were all patriots, and didn't know the global support of people. But so much is happening here. There's a power vacuum The old world order's collapsed. Trump's trying to come into that world order, taking down Venezuela. Cuba's about to fall. That's all great. I supported it. Said it was dangerous, but so far it's working. Iran is a different ball of wax. As the chairman of the Joint Chiefs told him, Tulsi Gabbard told him, the head of counterterrorism center told him, Joe Kent, publicly, Eric Prince, not exactly a dove, but very smart internationally, Blackwater founder, owner, said, he, I remember when the day after it happened, he said, I can't believe he did this. This is just, the Pentagon told him that they're not going to fall probably for years, and it's going to block the Strait of Hormuz and derail everything. Yeah, the European Central Bank warns of inflation as Iran war rages on. It's already exploding. So those are the facts. But Mark Levin tells us, and Trump told us Saturday on True Social, he said, watch Mark Levin tonight for what I believe. And it was an hour of famous neocons saying, we're going to take the whole country, regime change, we've got to find every piece of uranium, you've got to have an invasion, our troops are trained for this, they asked for this, so if they die, that's what, you know, that's what they asked for. I mean, it is crazy. Then Israel says, though, we're not going to help in a ground invasion. Of course. Because Israel's whole military could barely take Gaza. This is 100 times harder conservatively. The Pentagon estimates they fired that general, you know, back when Trump first got in 10 years ago, said, Iran's about 10 times worse than Afghanistan. So if you like Afghanistan and Iraq, you're going to love Iran. But for so many Americans, watching these bombs and go off, it's like entertainment. Like Trump every day watches a two-minute reel, and he loves it. And he says, wow, we blew up a whole bunch of stuff. Uh-huh. And now Trump's going to divert weapons from Ukraine to this operation. Now Trump's got 50,000 troops in the Persian Gulf. About 15,000 of those are combat troops. Let me read you some headlines. I'm going to get to an insane clip that I taped right before the show started, about an hour before the show started, on Fox News. The first 10 minutes at 10 a.m. with Pompeo. And if you have any logical military understanding, and I'm going to open the phones up so the military can call in, because I know they're going to agree with me, because I understand the doctrine. They say, we're going to send in the Delta Force and SEAL Team 6, and our sources that track all this, the public intelligence confirm Delta Force, SEAL Team 6, they've been training for this for a long time, that they've been deployed. Very small numbers, though. To supposedly go into multiple armored mountain redoubt fortresses, and Trump wants them to extract 1,000 pounds of enriched uranium. Now, what have I told you forever that I learned 15 years ago by people high level at CENTCOM who I know aren't BSers because they saw the scans? And the assessments on the ground where they drive around in vehicles unmarked and scoop up the air and then have filters and go test it, that they do have weapons-grade uranium. That's been known for decades, really. So, yeah, Trump thinks that he's going to send in special ops and meanwhile, Levin is on Saturday announcing the plan to send in Delta Force and SEAL Team 6. And he says, we know where it is. Oh, you think the Iranians aren't watching? As if it was the uranium's not going to be there, dumbass, when they go there. And you talk about going into those bases, I would say, even with secret weapons or whatever, discombobulators or whatever, those Iranians have wired those things to blow. And so much more. And plus, it won't even be there. I mean, it is... If you have a 70 IQ, you can see this is a suicide mission. I mean, I thought weeks ago about not even putting this out on air because, but the Iranians are smart. They don't even mean to tell them that obviously there's going to be raids to get that enriched uranium. I've been saying that since last June. That's how you have to really get it. And it's obviously not in the bases that produced it. It's been moved to other bases and probably since then is buried in somebody's backyard or it's in some goat farm or something. And, yeah, they've got ways to track it and try to track where it went, but it is a wild goose chase, okay? And so, yeah, our military is the best. It can train and train and train with incredible precision to do certain limited missions with special operations. But you think like they're Superman, like Mark Levin was saying, oh, they asked for this. They trained for this. They want to do this. No, they don't. If they knew it was for the national interest and they knew it was there, yeah, but I guarantee you, because I haven't even called these guys I know, but I can do it right now, current and former, and said, you think Iran hadn't moved that stuff around? You think whatever intel you had's new? You think that's a good mission? About 50-50, you're going to get killed, right? That's called a suicide mission. They'll totally agree. So, but you know who mainly has Trump's ear. It's Mark Levin and Lindsey Graham. Now, Lindsey Graham is a longtime lawyer. He commanded a desk in the military. And when I first saw this, I thought it was a parody. No, there's video and photos of him at Disney World by himself with a pink princess wand, scepter, walking around talking to children. This is not a joke. This is not a game. The guy that's trying to get us into nuclear war and total war with Russia and everybody else was photographed and videotaped jumping around playing with a guy in a Mickey Mouse outfit while he has a purple princess scepter in his hand. Does that make you feel good about what we're doing? Yes, he's walking around with no family with him, no children. He's not married. He's just wandering around with a pink princess scepter staring at children. It's completely insane. Any man, I've never even known a man, and it's well known who does go there. Any men going alone to Disney World, Disneyland, are sickos. And they're sure as hell not serious people. Because, buddy, you're trying to get us into total war. You better be in a situation where you're making hours a day. I know I am. So this is a type of compromised scum. By the way, it all came out in the Doge investigations, what we already knew. He's been the bag man with McCain on tens of billions of dollars. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and Boko Haram. That's all come out now. The people running against him in South Carolina are calling for his arrest for treason. But he's the one fighting the Muslims, but he's the one actually secretly running them, other than Iran. It's incredible. You cannot make this up. So before I hit this Fox News piece, let me just read you headlines, because there's no way to absorb this just by me babbling. Look at this. Oil hits 150 in a barrel as likelihood of U.S. ground invasion of Iran grows. Pentagon eyes weeks of ground operations in Iran as IRGC threatens tit-for-tat strikes from universities. Trump reiterates threat to destroy Iran's infrastructure. The Strait of Hormuz is not reopened. He's threatening to blow up their water supply. A war crime. On its face. It's like hitting hospitals. Trump, my favorite thing is to take the oil. Well, it'd be one thing if you went and took some of the oil, but then you got to hold it in those islands, but sure as hell don't blow it up. General, U.S. has been working on Iran ground raid plans for years. Yeah, and they move the stuff around. Fighter jets intercept civilian plane near Mar-a-Lago. Here's the Marine Corps letter they put out saying get ready for combat, imminent combat. Ron Paul says just get out now. Yeah, no kidding. We are now on the threat escalation escalatory ladder at warp speed. Oil prices rise with Brent, that's crude, headed for record monthly surge as Iran war enters fifth week. And I've been told by my sources that they are all being told get ready to deploy, or large groups are deploying, but obviously I'm not giving the tells. I just say, yeah, it's a mobilization. So Trump is getting ready, bare minimum, for special ops raids and Strait of Hormuz incursions and taking different islands. That's biting off more than we can chew. And they're looking at full mobilization. We didn't vote for that. Trump promised no full war with Iran. Oil prices rise with Brent headed for record monthly surge. Iran war enters fifth week. Iran's grip of the Strait of Hormuz is tighter than ever. 1 month later, Bloomberg reports, absolutely. The U.S. now has over 50,000 troops in the Middle East. Iran promises to set U.S. troops on fire. Trump threatens to strike Iran's water supply. Hegseth injects combative Christianity into America's military. Russia took satellite images of U.S. airbase in days before Iran attacked. Ukraine's Zelensky says, well, of course they're helping. We help the Ukrainians. So, this is out of control. Asia, from Australia to Japan to South Korea, running out of fuel, running out of liquid natural gas. But that's okay, because Lindsey Graham is walking around by himself with a baby blue and pink princess scepter. I know, because I bought basically that exact scepter. I know because I bought, I went and looked it up online, similar little princess scepter for my three daughters. You hit a button and it all flashes with, you know, lights and stuff. So the point is, he's got a girl's toy and he's walking around talking to Mickey Mouse and people looking completely insane. Look at him on TV. He constantly talks about killing people and then he goes, hey, and goes, I can't make the John Wayne Gacy face he makes. You know what it is. He'll just go, and I can't even do it. It's like a Brian Stelter face. He'll just go like, hey. I mean, he literally turns into a demon on television. Now he's running around with a princess scepter. You know, like the Nazi field marshals, equivalent to their chairman and their joint chiefs, they all had the scepters. But they were like, you know, scepters of blue and gold coil with an eagle on the top or a skull. Still a power trip, still arrogant, still, you know, weird. But oh, but they didn't have a pink princess scepter. Pink princess scepter. In fact, can we put that back on the screen and blow that up? I'm going to get into that more because we got more on that. So that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. There is our field marshal. The man with the pink princess scepter making that same weird face he makes constantly. A demonic zombie stumbling around Disney World. Totally oblivious to how bizarre that is. I mean, if I was caught myself at Disney World with a pink princess scepter, I would ask, what happened to me? What did I get conked on the head? Have I have amnesia? Did somebody give me PCP or something? But no, he's just the guy that basically says he runs Trump's foreign policy and is a total Israeli operative. And his off time, he goes by himself to Disney World to walk around all day and talk to kids and talk to people dressed up in Disney character outfits and carry a pink scepter. See, truth is stranger than fiction. You couldn't make that up. You couldn't make that up. But it's real. It's real. He's not at home with his wife having dinner because he didn't have a wife, folks. And he's a lot more than just gay. And he's totally compromised. You know what he is, folks. We'll be right back. Stay with us. The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have guys for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS. methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexandStore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Our medical grade USP Ultra Methylene Blue, exclusively at TheAlexJonesStore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your Ultra Methylene Blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at TheAlexJonesStore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Live from the Infowars.com studios, you're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
All right, here's what I want to do for the next hour and a half. Cover all this news, get to some of the domestic news as well, how it all ties together, the continued shutdown of DHS, the TSA nightmares, all of it, ahead of Harrison Smith and the full Joe Kent interview that you haven't even seen the most powerful stuff yet. We're going to premiere it in the fourth hour today and then post it to X and Rumble at Real Alex Jones, The Alex Jones Show. Former head of the National Counterterrorism Center that quit 2 weeks ago in protest of this disastrous war that he was accurately predicting would lead to disaster, which the official 17 intelligence agency assessment did that, the Pentagon assessment did that, the chairman of the Joint Chief told Trump, very low probability of success. Doesn't matter, they didn't listen. So he singled out, only this one traitor thinks this. No, anybody with a brain knows this. So I want to open the phones up specifically for active duty military, your views on the preparations to call you up, or you've already been called up. I don't want specifics of where you are, any intelligence information. If you've been in counterterrorism, been in the diplomatic corps, you've lived in the Middle East, you've served there. Have I been wrong? I've not been wrong about my predictions, but have I been wrong about my future predictions? Please give me your gravitas, or how am I right, or what do you think Trump should do? I want to open the phones up. I'm going to take a lot of your calls. I'm going to go to you quickly. Former military, current, Middle East experts, people that have worked in corporations over there, your view of this, we want to hear from people with firsthand experience or skin in the game. 877-789-2539, 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-2539. And if some of you are calling from a foreign country and toll-free numbers don't work, you can call our in-country number, 512-646-1776, 512-646-1776. All right. Let me do this. This is like a 10-minute segment. I'm not going to play it all, but at least the first five. I'm going to analyze it. But remember, we were told in June of last year, Midnight Hammer, this is it. We got all the uranium. And I'm like, they've moved the uranium out. I know they've been training the Delta Force and Navy SEALs to try to do these raids. And the men will follow orders, but the Pentagon has always said, don't do it. It's a suicide mission. This isn't like snatching Maduro, which was incredibly daring. Don't want to say that wasn't an incredible feat. In fact, we didn't get a bunch of people killed. It's amazing. Only two of Delta Force got hit by shrapnel and bullets. First, he said, you know, no injuries at all. That wasn't true. But it was still insanely incredible. But that would embolden Trump. Going into these underground military bases is a completely different ball of wax. And the Iranians are waiting. And you know they've moved the uranium out. But now, well, then all of them say, we've got to get every bit of the dust. The president's right. It's the uranium dust. And we've got to remove the regime or they'll keep closing the Strait of Hormuz forever. We can't let them have power over us. Well, we attacked them. Israel attacked them to drag us in. So Ben Shapiro's like, we've got the Strait of Hormuz closed. We've got to go in there because of this crisis that Israel drug us into, which I said before it happened, they would do. Because they want us fully committed to total war. And above that, the globalists want the Trump plan bankrupted. They want a world depression, not a world recovery and renaissance. So that's where we are. So let's go to this piece from just about an hour and a half ago on Fox News. And it's the same propaganda everywhere. That, oh, we've defeated the regime. We've already won, but now we've got to go get the uranium, and we've got to send the Marines in, the Strait of Hormuz, 2,500 Marines. And what have I been saying, me before the Marines were announced to go? I said the Marines will go first as a pawn sacrifice. Now they have high-level CIA whistleblowers public. I've got the clips saying they're sending the Marines in to be trapped. So then we have a full excuse to, oh, we've got to get the Marines out of this island we sent them into, the Strait of Hormuz that surrounds it. We've got to go in there now, and Trump's building the troops up. Now, I don't see the Pentagon even following Trump's order to attack with 15, 20,000 troops. No one knows the exact number, 50,000 total, but around 15 to 20,000 max combat troops. But he might still give the order. They might follow it. You know, it's a major dereliction of duty. You need 100,000 Marines and troops to take even basic areas of the Strait and hold them. And that's just holding the key infrastructure areas on the islands. They'll still be pinned down. And with all the air cover, they'll be able to survive. But now we'll have our troops captured, pinned down, held hostage, basically. And then that'll be the full commitment. We are being induced into the war incrementally, piece by piece. And every time I tell you they're about to escalate, they go, oh, he's a traitor. Listen to that. We're not going to have roots on the ground. We're not going to. And then, of course, they do. And they know full well that's the plan, but they're talking heads. Want to isolate you so you don't call Congress, you don't call the White House, you don't speak up. Oh, don't worry, nothing's going to happen. Oh, don't worry. Remember, I was wrong back in June when I said this is just the precursor to full war in the next year. Of course, that was the plan that happened. I know how these people operate. Let's go to this Fox News piece. Here it is.
Here's the president on negotiations and Operation Epic Fury.
Moving on very nicely. They've destroyed a lot of additional targets today. The Navy's gone, the Air Force has gone, we know that. But we destroyed many, many targets today. It was a big day. And we are negotiating with them directly and indirectly.
Officials say they expect talks to end the Iran conflict to the center of the Strait of Hormuz and Iran's efforts to cut off the crucial waterway. President Trump says Iran will allow 20 ships to pass through Hormuz beginning today as a quote-unquote sign of respect. The president is still weighing military operations to safeguard America and our allies.
Stop right there. He's been saying we were given the gift of 10 ships last week. We looked it up. They were letting through Chinese and Indian tankers. Well, the Iranians are letting them through. The Iranians have been doing that the whole time, letting their allies go through. So Trump just declares victory over things he has nothing to do with. The U.S. military won't get anywhere near the strait because they know they can be targeted by the missiles. Remember, Trump 3 weeks ago said, oh, I'll send the Navy through to guide ships through. The Navy said, no, sir, we can't do that. Unless you want to get them hit. And then you're fully committed. So that's where this is going, folks. And again, I mean, it's just a fact. Trump is just making that up. Just like he told you we'd won the war and it was already all over. All right, go back to the report.
Preparing for a potential ground operation with thousands of additional troops for that arriving in the region. Here's the president again.
Are you considering still putting boots on the ground? And would you do that without going to Congress?
I just have lots of alternatives. We have tremendous numbers of ships over there. We don't need them all because of, you know, the power. Look, I would say we're just like we're ahead of schedule on the ballroom. In a much bigger way, we're ahead of schedule. With Iran, we're weeks ahead of schedule.
One goal of putting troops on the ground could be to totally eliminate Iran's ability to build a nuclear weapon because they'd be focused on getting to that uranium that we know that Iran has. And the Wall Street Journal is reporting the president is considering an operation to extract 1,000 pounds of Iran's.
All right, stop again. Back it up 10 seconds. It was totally obliterated. It was all gone. We won Midnight Hammer, which was not true. Go back to what I said. They've obviously shipped that out of there. It's not in the enrichment facilities. Sure, we could probably find some of it, but not even most of it. So sending in the Delta Force and the Navy SEALs is a stunt. They'll probably raid some empty building somewhere. Hopefully, if they're going to do the stunt, they do that and don't get them killed. Because there's no way the Iranians have it anywhere we think it's at. So again, this is all pure crap. But really, it's designed to get the Marines pinned down and special operations as well to piss off the American people to go to full war. That's what this is. This is a setup. They're setting up our special operations and our Marines. And I've been saying it for weeks, even before they announced the Marines. And now you got all these other analysts saying the same thing. I know what I'm talking about. We're ahead of the curve of everybody. Because this is all I do. I'm trying to brag. I'm just thinking, we know what we're talking about here. Let's continue with the report.
On the ground could be to totally eliminate Iran's ability to build a nuclear weapon because they'd be focused on getting to that uranium that we know that Iran has. And the Wall Street Journal is reporting the president is considering an operation to extract 1,000 pounds of Iran's uranium. And former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is on focus. He's actually sitting right next to me, and he's coming up. Let's start with Chief National Security Correspondent Jennifer Griffin. Jennifer.
Harris, that would be a very dangerous and labor-intensive operation to get the highly enriched uranium. The Pentagon, however, is reportedly preparing for weeks of ground operations in Iran as more reinforcements arrive in the Middle East. The report from the Washington Post added that these plans are not a full-scale invasion, but include potential raids by special operations forces and conventional troops. About 3,500 sailors and Marines with the 31st Marine Expeditionary Unit arrived in the region over the weekend on the USS Tripoli amphibious assault ship and USS New Orleans amphibious transport dock. Another 2,000 Marines with the 11th Expeditionary Unit are en route, but still weeks away.
Let's stop there again, and then I'm going to finish up and go to your calls and news. What you're being told, again, is total lies. And Trump's obviously being told by the neocons in Israel that this is all going to work great. But notice Israel says they won't send one ground troop. And notice we're told, oh, it's limited ground war. First, it was never going to be a ground war. Now, here's the key. They have Gallup polls, Rasmussen polls. I'm going to get Mark Mitchell back on as soon as you can. Top pollster out there. That upwards of 80% of Americans, including conservatives, are against a ground war. It is wildly unpopular. And you've seen all these Republican members of Congress say no ground war. And Trump's approval rating has sunk to the lowest point ever. It was like 59 3-4 months into his new administration. Now look at it. And maybe Trump made a deal with the globalists. Hey, lose the midterms, get us America into a war, crash economy, we'll leave you alone. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to believe he's an evil person, but he cannot be this stupid. And they're like, sir, just incrementally, you know, get us into the war, get ground troops. And then the talking point is, well, we got to have regime change to get all that uranium. And then you're going to have Shiites all over the country. Even we took Tehran and other major cities who aren't going to give up. It's the ultimate quagmire. All right, back to the report.
Second Airborne began arriving in the Middle East Sunday. This gives additional options to CENTCOM, but represents still small numbers. Not nearly enough for a sustained ground invasion. Fox News confirmed Iran struck the U.S. Prince Sultan Air Base in Saudi Arabia on Friday with ballistic missiles and drones, injuring at least 12 U.S. service members. Two of the Americans are in serious condition, U.S. officials said. At least one KC-135 air refueling plane was hit and reportedly on fire as a result of the strike. But what got people's attention was a valuable U.S. Air Force E-3 Sentry AWACS command and control plane worth about $500 million, one of just a dozen or so in the U.S. inventory. It was also hit in a direct strike on Friday. It is a valuable plane that is essentially a flying command center, giving U.S. forces a picture of the battlefield. The base, which is deep inside Saudi Arabia, points to Iran getting targeting assistance from the Russians. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky told Fox News' Matt Finn in a sit-down interview that Ukraine has intelligence showing Russian satellites photographing U.S. military facilities in the Middle East, including the U.S.-UK joint military facility on Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean that Iran targeted last week. On March 25th, the Russians took satellite pictures of the Prince Sultan Air Base in Saudi. Zelensky wrote on X, 2 days later, a direct strike on U.S. assets parked on a tarmac in Saudi Arabia. Harris.
Jennifer, thank you very much. In Focus Now, Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State and President Trump's first term and a Fox News contributor. Great to see you.
All right, stop
first
there.
Of all,
this is a never-Trumper that sabotaged Trump administration, spied on him, just like all the other people that are Trump's best buddies now. Oh, and Elon Musk is in on the big AI board, but Mark Zuckerberg heads it, his archenemy that helped steal the 2020 election. Again, I'm supposed to see this new Trump and love him? That's the opposite of the old Trump? No. And again, this is going to go on for months. Bare minimum, the economy's cooked. Inflation's out of control. And that kills the Trump agenda. So Trump is throwing everything away because he was convinced this would last 4 days. And we've got maybe 15,000, 20,000 combat troops over there, 50,000 total. 2,000 plus Marines show up in a week on top of the 2,500 that are there. They're going to send another 10,000 out of Fort Bragg, different airborne units. So it'll be up at 25,000, 30,000. It took 110,000 Marines and sailors to take Iwo Jima, taking on 23,000 Japanese. Took a month. We lost 20 plus thousand troops. Soldiers. Again, these are just facts, people. We have been completely set up. Trump has walked into a trap. The former head of the Counterterrorism Center and Leventure combat veteran, CIA commando, Joe Kent, agreed with that analysis in the interview that's coming up, the full interview, fourth hour today. It's not like we're just sitting here making this stuff up, and you see what we said come true. All right, I'm going to go to your calls here soon. Mike and Steve and Dan and Hannibal and Dan and Josh and Tony and Mark, we'll get to all of you. But let me do this right now. We are funded by you. We bring you the very best amazing products. I want to thank you for your past support. And it is so critical to keep this operation on the air that you support what we're doing. I was in an hour-long meeting this morning with lawyers and others about the fact that the Texas receiver that took control of InfoWars, when they couldn't get the federal court to be corrupt and shut us down and hand us over to Bloomberg and The Onion and the gun control groups, because they haven't won their cases yet on appeal, they had the Antifa judge, that the Soros judge that ran the show trial on the Sandy Hook thing here, order it seized. But even the receiver is a little hesitant because the law says they'll be liable if they grab this place and shut it down, and then we end up winning in court. But so what they're doing is not paying the rent, not paying the electricity, not paying the internet, starting in 2 days. And so I'm just going to ride the horse, and then when things start turning off and we can't operate, I'll move into the All Shows Network. That, people ask when we shut down, that's it. I'm just going to ride the horse till it dies. Not getting off, not giving up. I'm just going to ride the son of a bitch to the ground. All right? But when you go to the AlexJonesShow.com, I don't own that. That's Bigley, our sponsor, that owns and built the Alex Jones Network. They're building even bigger studios. We got a nice little studio and podcast studio and newsroom studios, stuff you haven't seen yet. That's done. Same satellite uplinks, stations, won't miss a beat. Our radio stations is all there. But it takes funds to do that. So right now, the AlexJonesShow.com is funding InfoWars. And even though the money's there, the receiver won't use it to pay the bills, so fine. But it's also paying for the Alex Jones Network and all the things that are about to happen when you switch over to it. So it's critical right now to support. Plus, the products are amazing. So listen, about 6-7 months ago, they came out with a huge high-end Faraday backpack with all these inner pouches and things, really high-end. I bought a similar one many years ago for $500+. And in that, you're untrackable with it. It protects against EMPs, you name it. It's really nice. We've got some B-roll over we can show you. And inside of it comes a whole bunch of products, including a modern version of a World War II trench dagger with murdered-out brass knuckles, skull crusher, and 10-inch double-edged blade, razor-sharp, super high-quality stainless steel dagger. America First Faraday. It says America First, murdered-out with Statue of Liberty on it, black-on-black. America First Tactical Trench Knife with the inscription America First, limited edition. America First T-shirt. MK Ultra Brain Boosting Supplement. Atomic Defense Autoimmune Boosting Supplement. Shilajit Gummies and Shilajit Complex Capsules. That's two bottles. CMOS Gummies, CMOS Capsules. That's two bottles of those. And so much more. That's a $600 value for $249. You can't get this bag for that. Much less the goods. For VIP members, $199.99. And last time they only got like 500 of them. They sold out in one day. They got a few thousand of them. They've already sold out of half of them. So by the end of the week, it'll be sold out. If you want to get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And finally, zeolites are amazing. And it would take an hour to get into them. But here are these compounds in nature that are the ultimate chelators to pull heavy metals and toxins out of the body, to knock out parasites, and to take out spike protein. Alex Jones Naturals Zeolite Detox Defense is a private label of a high-end, highly rated, high-quality zeolite. I'm not going to say the best because it's different zeolites are better for different people. That's why it's hard to ever say what the best zeolite is. They got special brands and special systems of different things. But this is a high-end one. Highly rated, and you really owe it to yourself to get this. We have a gigantic introductory offer. Zeolite Detox and Defense, a powerful liquid formula with ultra-fine zeolite designed to help bind heavy metals and environmental toxins, support your body's natural detox pathways, really good for your brain, and promote daily wellness. Now, we've never done a deal like this, but they're so excited about it. 72% off, that's at cost. If you're a subscriber, and you can cancel any time, month to month. That's just $16.99 a month. Lock it in. Get it for that price as long as you want at cost if you're a subscriber, or cancel any time. Locked in for life as long as they stay subscribed. But they're only allowing the first 1,000 to do that. I'm going to tell them to expand that because it's almost... After that, it jumps back to $24.99. Oh, my gosh. They make like $9 on that then. That's terrible. So still a great price if that ends. Also, today only, get a free limited edition InfoWars t-shirt. Limited edition when you subscribe to any product ends tonight at midnight Central Time. That is a massive deal. Only one day on that. Also, every order gets a free InfoWars mystery bundle with mugs, decals, wristbands, Instanite. They just keep topping the sales, folks. This has got to be the biggest sale ever, and it ends tonight at midnight. I got to get them to extend that a couple days. That's just crazy. Yeah, I designed that limited edition shirt. It's the troops at Iwo Jima raising the American flag, but instead of the stars, it's got InfoWars, and it says the InfoWar lives forever. So if InfoWars gets shut down, it's good to have that memento. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. Be the reason, as Chase Geiser likes to say, we'll always be on the air. You can fight for this republic. All right, let's start going to your phone calls now. Again, the number to call is 877-789-2539. We're talking to former and current military about their view about the situation. Let's get one call in before the hour ends. We'll come right back and take more. Let's talk to Mike, a Marine, 6 ex-diplomats in the Middle East. What's your take? Am I wrong about what I've said, or what's the truth?
Yeah, Alex, I love you, but yeah, you're wrong. I'm not saying your predictions aren't pretty accurate for the most part, but on this instance, I think your future prediction is what you're mistaken. Just real quickly, I've done 6 VIEW deployments and then a few land-based deployments. Most of them in the Middle East. It just depends on which decade we're talking, essentially. But first off, Marines, we don't do suicide missions. We're not sent in to be pawns, no matter, I don't know where that comes from, but that's just not the case. As far as what's going on now, the uranium and all that kind of stuff, they're not going to send in operations to go recover that stuff. And it's not just because we can't do it. We have forces that can accomplish that, even in the current situation inside Iran. There are forces that can do that. They're not going to do it just because of the hazardous material and the protective requirements that we would have to have. So that stuff that's a distraction. Okay, there are different techniques that are used in military operations. And why I can be so confident with this military operation as opposed to others that we've done there, because we have been distracted in those other operations. Iraq is a perfect example. Everybody thinks the reason for going in Iraq was to recover weapons of mass destruction, similar to what we're talking about now with the uranium.
All right, listen, I want to hear what you say is really going on in 2 minutes. Don't hang up, Mike. We'll go to everybody else that's holding. I'm going to your calls now, so stay with us. We'll be right back, hour number two. And I hope you're right. Boy, I hope you're right. We'll be right back. The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have guys for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com. We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, I'm going to start really going through your calls quickly now. Like Hannibal, 37-year military, was a colonel, DOD, and Army. We got missile facilities, Dan and Missouri was an ICBM technician. We've got Army, military, police. We've got Marines, Navy. We got Tony on current deployment. We're going to finish up with Mike in Georgia, former Marine with all these deployments. Then we're going to go to Hannibal, the colonel, after that. But I'm going to move. So, listen, I understand that we'll be told a mission's really one thing. It's something else, okay? But I know we needed to pivot to China. I know the Middle East is a fiasco. I know Israel drug us into this. Talk to me like I'm 5 years old. What are you saying really is going on? What are the Marines really for?
Okay, so first off, the 11th MEU that's just deployed out of San Diego, okay, that's a scheduled deployment. Marines deploy on MEUs constantly. They're always out at sea, and they overlap. So in order to be in a MEU, you have to go through at least 6 months to a year of training to become qualified to do the different operations because they're called MEU stocks. A SOC means special operations capable. So when you hear about Delta Force going here and SEALs going there and all that kind of thing, a lot of times they're not going to use Delta Force to go recover uranium, even if that was a plan. They wouldn't use a force like that. So that MEU is scheduled deployment. And when we deploy as a MEU, typically if you're deploying from the West Coast, most of the time you're spending in what we call West Asia or the Middle East, that region. Okay, so as far as the different tactics that we're using, we're not going. I'm not going to sit here and tell you who I talk to or how I know these things. It's just you can either listen to me or you can't. I'm an operational. I'm a boots on the ground guy. Now we have this gentleman who's come out recently who said these things and put out a scathing retirement letter. Well, the guy did 11 deployments. He's got 6 Bronze Stars. Do you know how many times I think he was Special Forces, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Do you know how many times you have to volunteer in order to get to that point? You have to repeatedly volunteer. So what am I supposed to listen to? This guy repeatedly volunteered to go serve in the Middle East in a special operations capacity, received, from what I heard, 6 Bronze Stars. I mean, come on.
And his wife got killed.
When did he learn?
They were both CIA. His wife got killed too. So what are you saying? Just quantify.
Well, when did he learn he was being lied to? Or just after he got into, no, these guys are read in. I have briefed with these people. Due to my job in the Marine Corps, I was required to operate with some of these people. And I've been to briefings. I know what's told in these briefings, Alex. And like I said, man, I
know, but I'm still trying to get, what are you getting at? Just put a bookend on it.
Okay, the bookend on it, that's a rough one. Okay, so what we're doing, our major mission right now in Iran relating to Iranian forces is to degrade their ability to project power. That doesn't mean that we need to invade. That doesn't mean we are going to take out their desalinization plants or their infrastructure. We need to degrade their ability to export power. We have the allies.
Yeah, we've been told a bunch of other missions too, regime change, all the rest of it. My point is, you understand, they closed the strait and all the experts agree it'd be very hard to reopen it. Then it destroys the economy. Do you understand that?
Oh, I understand that perfectly. And what you're going to see is you're going to see not the United States by itself, the United States in the background with the other Arab partners opening the Strait of Hormuz and taking control of that. And that's going to include Yemen. Within 4 weeks, Yemen is going to be back in the open of the Strait of Hormuz, and we're not going to have to send one boot on the ground at Kargai.
All right, I appreciate your call, and I hope you're right. Here's what I'm saying. I know Trump's put out a lot of disinformation he thinks to confuse the quote enemy. All the enemy needs to do is keep attacking ships. Doesn't matter how many foreign navies you put out there. They're going to be able to harass the ships, sink the ships. No ships going through a war zone. The strait stays closed as long as there's not regime change. And the regime, I believe, is going to hang on. That's why this was dumb. I don't support the mullahs. We could flip a switch, send them to Mars. I'd do it. But this is a setup to destroy our economy. I hope you're right, though, caller. Back in 1 minute with Hannibal in Florida and then many others. We've got active duty folks as well. Stay with us. The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have dodged for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
We're taking phone calls from active and former duty military, getting your perspective on this giant escalating war. Trump saying he's preparing special operations, ground invasions, the Marines, all of it. Obviously, the numbers aren't there to even do that. So what's really going on here? Let's talk to Hannibal. Is Hannibal still there? Hannibal just dropped as I was going to him, Army Colonel. I was like, wow. Let's go ahead and go to Tony in New Jersey, Army on current deployment. Go ahead, Tony, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how you doing, buddy?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, so I'm getting a lot of Air Force guys that are getting called up. Being Army, my unit's not going anywhere, but everybody I know in the Air Force is getting calls or at least alerts, kind of like that Marine Corps Reserve general's letter, just saying, hey, get ready, get your stuff together. It seems the Air Force more heavy than anything, which kind of leads me to the thinking that, you know, some of the damage to the airfields in the Gulf might be a lot worse. I got to ask you a question, though, Alex. With everything going on with the 25th Amendment with Trump, he's lost it. Right? Is that even something to consider? I mean, retreating from Minneapolis and attacking Iran, what the hell is he doing? This ain't the same guy.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say that he's Joe Biden or anywhere close, but he definitely is acting way different than he did before. And he does repeat himself, but I wouldn't say 25th Amendment, but definitely it's a new guy. What do you think is going on?
I mean, we got to save the movement, Alex. I mean, this guy is nothing. I mean, leaving Minneapolis because two Bolsheviks commit suicide by cop and then attacking Iran, that's not changing your mind. That's 180 degrees from what he was before. So, like you said, I don't know if he's compromised or what the hell's going on, but to save the movement, man, how much more do we have to see?
Well, you know, Trump's not the movement. He just wrote in on it. And the Liberty Movement's huge and good and just growing. So we should all vote in the midterms for good Republican candidates and be more engaged than ever and just be sad about Trump going sideways and support the good stuff administration's doing and fight the bad stuff. But as current active duty, what are your compadres, what are your fellow soldiers saying about the situation?
I haven't met two guys who think it's a good idea. I think that last caller was rage baiting Alex because he's nuts. I don't know what unit he's in or what kind of outfit that is. Everybody I talk to says, what the hell, how's this going to be different than Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam? It's the same stuff all over again. Everybody knows it. You're 1,000% right as usual. And you're right. As long as we got you, the movement's still strong.
Well, it's not just, it's all of you guys. Look, I've seen the polls. 80% of Americans, when you average conservatives, liberals together, are against ground troops, like 90% of liberals. At least liberals get this one thing right. You know, broken clocks
it's
are
99%
right.
Of the military, Alex. 99%. You're not going to, I can't wait to hear the other callers because I think that first guy's If he's even in the military, he's probably in the Coast Guard auxiliary or something.
Well, I mean, he wasn't responding to the Strait of Hormuz situation.
Well, Alex, you're going to get, we can't stop them from shelling the ships. What's going to stop them from shelling the island when we get boots on the ground there? I don't understand what anybody's thinking. I mean, it seems very basic.
Well, for people that don't know, we do have the superior Air Force, but when you finally get on the ground with a major enemy that's dug in and willing to die, it's a whole new ballgame. Thanks for the call. It's just a fact. And good old-fashioned artillery, folks, and mortars, and you name it, it is bad, and missiles. They've got just millions, as reported, of anti-tank and anti-aircraft short-range missiles. And so, yeah, our Apache helicopters and Super Cobras are going to blow the living hell out of them. They'll pop up, shoot at us. 9 times out of 10, we'll get them. But 1 time out of 10 or so, they'll get us, and they've got 30, 40, 50 to 1 superiority in the amount of munitions and troops. We will lose. And Israel and the neocons know that, and they are putting us into a trap. And, you know, the earlier caller said, well, I don't know who's saying this is a trap to send the Marines into Craig Island. That's what all the analysts are saying, including former high-level CIA officers. I've got the quotes and clips right here for me to play them. Like, I don't know who they are. I mean, it's a trap to put 2,500 Marines on an island surrounded by cliffs with weapons all over it, and the island itself is like a Japanese island in World War II. I mean, come on. Come on. Sound like a trap to me. Oh, we don't march into traps. Well, you do if you're ordered to. Dan in Missouri, missile facilities technician, ICBM, Iran and Trump. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm all right.
Anyway, I think I'll go through my list here. I think the devil's on both sides. I think this is a Russian second front to relieve the Russian front that is stalemated. And I think Trump has an evil spirit and needs an exorcist. And you can't bomb an idea or religion. And then Gandhi said you have to have an enemy to be strong. And if we drop back and don't become their enemy, they fall apart. And Sun Tzu, The Art of War, somebody needs to read that.
Let's go back to your first point, though, because that was important. Make that point again.
Devils on both sides.
Okay, what was your second point?
This is a Russian second front.
Oh, there's no doubt. So listen, the U.S. is having to take intelligence, telemetry, weapons from that war to this. That's now been announced. But it was Israel that drug us into it and the neocons that did it. So are they working for Russia? No, it just shows they're out of control. But you're absolutely right. Russia is 100% using this as a second front proxy war.
Well, you have said personally that Vladimir Putin laughs about all the Russians in Israel.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, he basically says, oh, I'm a friend of Israel. Russia basically runs Israel. Over a third of the people there are recent Russian immigrants.
Okay, so some of those could be trying to relieve the homeland of pressure from other folks in the Ukraine war. They might open a second front for Russia's benefit.
I mean, yeah, and you know, Netanyahu is really Polish, and before that they were communists. You can actually say he's a Russian agent. I'm not saying that's what happened, but it's definitely having that effect. Thanks for the call. All right, let's continue with the callers in the order that they are received here. Let's go to Mark in Michigan. Mark in Michigan, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to call about a couple different things. I was a DOD contractor during the time of Iraq and Afghanistan. I spent 4 years in Iraq, and I spent 3 years in Afghanistan. And some other people that would consider themselves to be conservatives, they're following the talking points of the mainstream media, and they think that it's a good idea to go over into Iran. And I tend to support the mentality of the ideology of someone like Major General Smedley Butler, who thinks that war is a racket. I don't see how there's ever going to be anything that's going to be of benefit from us going around and interfering with other people's foreign policies. And
well, exactly. I mean, look. The Constitution says there's three things the feds are supposed to do, and one of them is control the border. Our military shut the border down almost completely. That's a constitutional duty. They're supposed to do it. That's where it's supposed to be. Or somebody messes with our ships, messes with our commerce, then we attack them defensively. But this whole thing of, oh, we got to get their nukes. Oh, we got to get their missiles. Oh, now we got to go find the uranium. I mean, you talk about a trap. And again, it is killing the U.S. economy. I've got all the actuaries, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, all of it. I had economists on a year ago predicting this. Another 2 weeks of this, another month of this, Trump's recovery is dead. And that's what the globalists want, and it pisses me off.
Well, Alex, I spent quite a bit of time in the combat zone. I'm not prior military, but I worked with a lot of the people there. And, it just always amazed me how very little people know about someone like Major Smedley Butler and how they try and vilify someone like this Joe Kent guy that spoke out against Warren. And these aren't people that are, that are beatniks or some kind of someone that's against,
Well, exactly. Smedley Butler was a 2-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner. They wanted to be the Marine Corps Commandant. He found out about the Bushes, Prescott Bush, and a Nazi plan that came out in Congress, the McCormick-Dixon hearings after World War II, with Kennedy's dad, JFK's dad, and they were going to stage a Nazi coup over America. They asked him to lead it, and they found it, they rounded him up, they arrested him, but the news kept it real quiet because it was so embarrassing. Thanks for the call. And yeah, Joe Kent, 11 combat deployments, highly decorated. His wife over there is an interpreter, CIA. She got blown up in Syria. He's given everything. And he saw the intelligence reports. He told Trump that he'd listen, he resigned, and they call him a, quote, leader of the neo-Nazi coup. No, the coup is the Israelis trying to control our foreign policy. And I don't have a hard-on for Israel, but Israel's making a very dangerous wrong move here through Netanyahu, and I stand against it. Thank you, Mark. Let's go now. Let's now go to the next caller. Let's go to Chuck in Oregon. Chuck, thanks for holding. Army, military, police, what we'll need hold to win. Go ahead, Chuck.
This is what I think we can expect to see to happen. It's not going to be just Delta Force and Special Forces if we're going to go in there and try to extract this uranium. And by the way, do we even really know how much stuff we're talking about extracting? Like, is it a footlocker or is it...
No, they have some thousand pounds magic number. They have no idea. I mean, as if the Iranians haven't squirreled that stuff away everywhere.
Right. And so my point is, if we're going to go in and secure a location and then go and do this extraction mission with all this stuff, we're talking about not just special forces. We're talking about nuclear, biological, chemical soldiers. We're talking about airborne. All of them have to be airborne qualified. They would have to go ahead and get the engineers to overcome obstacles. We're talking about
fiascos. Explain it to them. You're going to have to put in, per site, thousands of troops. They'll have to take out all the defensive sites around it, any bases around it. Then they got to fight the security force that's there, that's waiting. Yeah. It's going to be obviously booby-trapped. Then you've got to get through all these giant steel doors. Then you've got to get it. You've got to test it. Then you got to get out with it. That is what you call putting bait out. That is a suicide mission.
So, are we going to be... You can imagine what kind of equipment that we're going to need for this mission, too. Forklifts, I mean, we're talking about how are we going to extract it? Are we going to get have a whole armada of gunships and escorted by Chinook helicopters and all this stuff to airlift that stuff out? I just really have trouble picturing in this my mind to be a successful mission based on everything you've laid out and prior conversations that you've had with people on the air. Iran's demonstrated the capability. They have the ability not to probably win this war, but they just probably have a better ability not to lose, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, that's it, because of the Strait of Hormuz. If they didn't have that, then this would be winnable. But all the experts agree, doesn't matter how much Navy you put out there. They've got all that artillery, all those endless weapons up in the hills. And sure, we'll blow up every time one fires, but all they've got to do is, out of thousands of weapons, they've just got to have a few hundred hit their target, and they'll sink a bunch of ships, and it's game over.
Right. All right, thank you very much for your opportunity to talk.
I appreciate you, brother. No, this is a trap. This is a trap to bring down the Trump administration and bring down America. 100%. There's no other way to look at it. And Trump does not have any deep military understanding, to say the least. That's why this has happened. That's why Joe Kent resigned to say, sir, please read the intelligence reports. Stop now. Pull out now. This is a trap. And he told us that last week. We played those clips. He only played like 6-7 minutes of an hour-long interview that's coming up fourth hour today. In fact, we'll start airing it in the middle of next hour. But let's go back to your calls now. Let's talk to Rich, who's Air Force, calling from an Air Force base. Rich in Illinois, welcome and thank you.
Am I on?
Yes, you are, Rich.
Alex, thank you for having me on. I'm going to make this very brief because I'm getting off lunch and I got to take a shit. So first things first, I've heard nothing within the Air Force with, like, the conscientious objector stuff, like whatever the Army had going on and so forth. I'll say this. Regardless of the politics of the entire situation, I generally feel everybody around here is aware, but it doesn't change the fact of us, you know, like, we know what we're getting into here. We watch the news. Some of us watch InfoWars. We're not oblivious. But I'll say this, just from an Air Force perspective, when it comes to everyone's job, when you're here in the United States, you are training to do your job in a rapid environment like that. And it's kind of cool because, you know, some of my leadership and stuff who served in Iraq, served in Afghanistan, some of them are like, yeah, you know, this one's fucking different. It is, man. It's fucking different. But, you know, it's kind of hilarious because when I made my decision to come into the Air Force, I was banking on the fact Kamala wouldn't get elected and we wouldn't go to war. Now, fucking look at me now, huh?
That's the big thing is I can play hour-long compilations, 10-minute compilations all day of Trump explaining from his advisors that our Iran war is a disaster and we shouldn't do it for all the reasons we now see. And so they can't spin that and call us traitors and neo-Nazi coup leaders. That's what they're calling us. Because we don't want the Israel lobby and known IDF operatives and a bunch of Jonathan Pollard 2.0s sitting there doing this. I mean, this is bad. And like the people around you have said, this is different. This is in Iraq. This is in Afghanistan. Those are big enough problems. This is Iran, and this is three times the size of Iraq, and three times the people, and a lot more weapons, and they got the Strait of Hormuz. And you're seeing it. It's not like, are we going to be right? This is a disaster. It is one. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you. Be safe. All right, let's talk to Mike in New Jersey. Mike in New Jersey, a police officer, works for Marines on deployment. Welcome, Mike.
Hello, Alex. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling.
So I've been talking to a bunch of people recently, a couple guys I work with that are Marines reservists and a couple guys that were former military, Army, Navy, all over. We had a pretty long discussion last night. Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we need to talk about is the stuff that's going to be happening in the United States, you know, terrorist threats, all these different things. I don't think that's being talked about enough. I think there's definitely...
I mean, the first day this started, a Shiite nut job went and shot a bunch of people in downtown Austin.
Exactly, yeah. We had a... In New Jersey, we just had a bomb threat the other day at a St. Patrick's Day parade. You know, we have a lot...
They've had a bunch of truck attacks run over people in Europe. Doesn't even hit the news, barely. They caught terrorists trying to blow up Bank of America in Paris.
And this is stuff that should be in the news. This is stuff that people should be talking about. I think, you know, domestically, we're going to have more issues than what we have over there. I mean, I don't want to see any troops go on the ground whatsoever. I think Trump should back us out as soon as he can. I think, unfortunately, he's compromised. But as far as domestically, I think we need to step up our game a little bit because we're going to just continue to have more and more issues. And we can't have people, another 9/11 or something, you know, something crazy happened here.
I totally agree. And the Iranians have said, we have unconventional asymmetrical forces in Europe and the U.S., and we may use them if you don't make a deal. So if there's an attack, you could say it's Iran. You have to look at that. Or a globalist neocon Israeli element could also stage an event to be the reason to make all this look legitimate. So it's going to be very, very, very important to analyze what happens.
And frankly, I don't think our first responders are really trained enough for these situations. You have a bombing happen, then you have a second bombing happen after the police and fire respond. And And then what do you do? You know, like, now we're having first responders injured. You have,
and that's what they did. The Iranian specialty, training the Iraqis, as it obviously sounds like you know, was they do one event to suck in more troops or first responders, and that's the big attack.
Exactly. Yeah, and I don't think training's not, you know, but you know how police and the DMS fire with training's not the forefront of what we're doing. The military is here, and they're predominantly training every single day. We're on the ground dealing with the public every single day, and training, you're talking, you know, 50, 60 hours a year. And what does that really do?
Well, there's a million things that go into this quantification, but let me just give you an analysis. If you see a big, spectacular 9/11 event, that was a deep state operation. If you see a whole bunch of attacks and police departments getting blown up, military bases, and people getting shot up, that's the Iranians. So if you see a whole bunch of stuff all of a sudden, all the place, that's not an intel op, because they don't have the forces to do that. But, so if it's a big event, it's staged, it leans towards that. If it is a whole bunch of events, it's the Iranians. Thanks for the call. All right, let's go to Roger in Tennessee, a retired federal agent for the Department of Energy. Your take on this, on Iran. Go ahead, Roger. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Alex, first time caller. Hey, I just want to say, like, for the news to be saying and that people think that we're going to go into Iran and extricate all this special nuclear material, they are absolutely insane. We're not sending in the SEALs. I mean, this stuff, you're going to, like, I think one caller touched on it before, it's going to require so much logistics and so much specialty personnel to move this stuff. You don't take special nuclear material. Just
who are going to be under attack when they're setting down to get it?
It's going to be insane. It's insane. Like, the people that handle this stuff are not Navy SEALs and Delta Force operators. I mean, these are like logistics people and scientists. I mean, there's protocols to handle
this stuff. I've been studying the Iranians. They've already moved this stuff out of where they think it's at. They got it all wired to blow. I predict when we show up, nobody's going to be there. And when they go into these facilities, they're going to blow up.
Yeah, anything's possible. I mean, this is absolutely insane. And the whole freaking country's taking crazy pills right now. And people need to call and every congressman and senator and just try to get this stuff to freaking end this absolute nightmare that we're getting ready to walk into.
So people don't know the Department of Energy's over all the nuclear stuff and nuclear waste. Is that what you're... I mean, just imagine trying to find all this uranium with them enriching it for 30 years. It's just ridiculous to say we're going to send in the military into a gigantic country and find it. It's ridiculous.
It's insane. It's insane. It pisses me off because for them to talk to the American people like this, think that we're a bunch of idiots, and apparently we are if we're falling for this freaking insanity, for this, whatever this Mickey Mouse charade that they're trying to put on.
But we're not. I mean 80% of Americans are against ground troops. Yeah. So we're not idiots. They just don't care. What happened to Trump?
Oh, I don't know, man. I voted for him 3 times. You know, I was so pissed off over the whole 2020 fiasco. And it just seemed like in the last year, you know, I think he's co-opted. I think freaking, you know, I think there's some type of influence going on, and he's completely changed course. And that all the conservatives here in East Tennessee that I know, they're pissed off about it. And the only people that are going along with this insanity are pretty much like your 60, 70-year-old boomers. You know, that whole previous generation.
Absolutely. I mean, I know almost no one, including boomers, that support it. I mean, this is just everything Trump said he wouldn't do. Thank you. They got a big press conference on this right now. We'll have a few minutes of that and more of your calls. We'll be right back. Everybody stay with us. The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, Methylene Blue T-shirt, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexHomeStore.com. The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexHomeStore.com.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit. He was right about every step of the way.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me.
He never gives up. He's Alex Jones, broadcasting from deep in the heart of Texas, worldwide.
Well, I thought the day I met you, you were meek as a lamb, just the kind to fit my
dreams. Yeah, Trump was told this would be a huge success, that the middles would fall right away, there'd be citizen uprisings. And when Trump told the Iranian people, keep uprising, I'm coming to your aid, regime change, Trump usually does what he says he's going to do, so I thought, oh my God, we're going to full war. And then as we get deeper and as we don't get the objectives, we escalate. And that's how wars work. So the answer is get the hell out now. The problem is the Iranians are emboldened. They're saying $500 billion reparations, all U.S. military bases out, or we'll just keep bombing forever. So the definition of a tiger by the tail of your TV viewer is that live composite feed and time lapse of the ships, the Strait of Hormuz. Notice, they're going back and forth, but none of them are crossing through it, except every few days after Iran boards the boats, they allow Russian, Chinese, North Korean, Indian ships through, and then Trump spins it and says, I have gotten this as a gift. I mean, I hate to criticize Trump. Man, in the past, they called Trump a liar, and the media would lie about him, and it was everything he said was basically pretty much true. Now, I hear, when it comes to this war, nothing but lies. And different lies every hour. And Dowdy says to start blowing up their water treatment plants. That's a war crime, folks. So this is beyond a fiasco already. Caroline Leavitt just started her press conference. I'm going to go to her intro. It's a few minutes long. I'll go back to your calls. Then as she goes to questions, we're going to take a little bit of that. I'm sure those are going to be interesting. But let's go ahead and take calls. We've been holding the longest here. That would be Dan in Georgia, Marine and Navy. Dan, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Thank you for taking my call. I love the methylene blue and the Shilajit and the gummies. My buddy and I been using that stuff for the last year and a half, 2 years.
Well, you're the reason we're still on air. So the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you. But did you get results?
Hell yeah. That's why we keep using it.
What were the results you got?
The methylene blue, what I noticed was the mental clarity and the energy, the initial energy boost, and then no letdown. I mean, a lot of the guys were saying, try this 5-hour energy stuff. And I said, nah, I'm not down for that crap. There's too many things I can't pronounce. But
well, let me just say this. It all hits at different angles. But if you love methylene blue, you'll love the zeolites. They pull the toxins out of the body, particularly the brain, the liver. And at first, they're really toxic. It can make you feel kind of cruddy for a few days. But we have high-quality zeolites that go great with methylene blue. It's all super good for you. And so I hope you check out our new zeolite detox and defense, DollarShowStore.com. But moving on from that, what's your take with your Marine and Navy background?
Well, back in the 80s, we trained to defend ourselves against the Russians and all the chemical biological warfare stuff. And we knew about Iran and Iraq, and when the Shah left in the 70s and the mullahs came in, we already knew what we were getting into. And then when they got into the enrichment thing, it was a wait-and-see game. And then when I got into the Navy, the rules kind of changed for some reason. And, you know, we were all just like, what the hell? Why don't we just go in and carpet bomb them and call it a day? But we knew then that going against Iran was going to be nothing like Iraq. And I don't understand. I mean, I'm a boomer, and this isn't rocket science. Why Trump has done his 180 is beyond me, and I voted for him all three times.
Well, I have family that's retired now. I've spent 35 years in the Army, and I'll leave it at that. And they were, for 10 years, which wasn't even their training or their job. It's usually, you know, it's officers. I mean, he was an officer, but an enlisted officer. But this general, when he wasn't the head general, but was over a major country, liked him, so said, you work for me now. And so for 10 years, he worked for the guy that became the head general of the whole CENTCOM. And he wouldn't give me classified info, but he was always like, because he started working for that guy like 20 years ago. He's been out for like 10. But his last 10 years was under that individual. And he just said, oh, my God, Iran, it's like the worst. And, you know, obviously the nuke stuff, they have enriched uranium enough for a bunch of bombs. People get pissed, go, wait, see, you're backing Israel. Saying they've been saying for 25 years they have it because they do. They don't have delivery systems. It doesn't mean that you can't get in there and get it. So the answer is have anti-missile defense systems, make a deal with Iran, and don't have a nuclear war with them. Instead, Israel's like, no, we're going to do this. So, yeah, Iran is a totally different animal. And that's where we are. Where do you think this is going?
Plays into this, Alex, but you know, I'm kind of wondering how close we're getting to the end of times.
You got the cashless society, the AI. You must serve the globalist, or you can't buy or sell. It's all definitely at least foreshadowing or tremors ahead of the Antichrist. It's all happening. Doesn't it make your faith even stronger?
Yes, sir.
God bless you. I appreciate your call. Owl Killer in Virginia, you're on the air, former Navy. Go ahead.
So, Alex, I just want to give you a little bit of confidence in the sense that you yourself
everybody understands why you and people like me back Trump. It's not that we think the guy's perfect. It's that, look, we don't have a shot if he doesn't do something. We don't have a shot. You know, we were on a field where, you know, there was nobody on our side. So
until about 8 months ago, I thought he was overperforming. I was on cloud nine.
Yeah.
But now he's going sideways, bro.
Yeah, for sure, 100%. I want to bring up two. I remember 1967. The reason why Israel wanted the Golan Heights so bad was because they were just getting shelled from above, and there was nothing they could really do about it. The same thing happened in the 90s when the Russians went up and.
Your phone's breaking up while it reconnects, hopefully. Yeah, and the Strait of Hormuz on the Iranian side makes the Golan Heights look like flat land. Go ahead.
It's they've been dug in. They've been waiting for 40 years for this. I just can't get around. It's the economy around that is surrounding everything. I think we want, if we pay attention, we couldn't get rid of Assad until we preoccupied Russia inside of Ukraine. I really think it's a financial reset, and we're just waiting for something to happen. I think that they wanted Russia to overreact, and they did a lot of things. Like, for example, when they did that sneak attack.
Oh, like Operation Spiderweb, attacking sites all over Russia, blowing up their nuclear bombers. Yeah, that was a total provocation.
100%. And if I'm telling you straight up, if that would have happened to us, say they would have hit our bombers in Nebraska or something, submarines would have popped up off the coast of Moscow, and who know, there would definitely be no more Moscow. It'd probably be no more world. So I think that I don't think, again.
100% planned fire. This is completely insane.
Yeah.
And notice they did Operation Spiderweb while Trump was president-elect to derail a peace deal. So Trump's smart enough not to go to war with Russia. Hey, Trump, going to war with Iran is going to war with Russia. The media's like, how dare them help the Iranians target our stuff? They know it's a proxy war. Appreciate your call. This is bad, folks. Let's go to Caroline Levitt's intro, and we'll take more calls, and we'll go into some of the questions. It's ongoing right now, but let's hear what she had to say. Everything's fine. We've won. Everything's great. No. The world economy's going into major inflation. This derails our whole plan. This is mathematics. Like I just said this last month, I said it last year with economists. Dr. Elliott was the one thing he's worried about is Iran war, Strait of Hormuz. And that was the Pentagon assessment as well. This is known, folks. This is like, don't jump into a wood chipper. You know, don't stick your hand on a garbage disposal. It's ridiculous. Here's the press conference.
With respect to the ongoing major combat operations in Iran, Operation Epic Fury is moving ahead successfully and according to plan. With each passing day, the United States military is increasing its advantage over the terrorist Iranian regime. More than 11,000 enemy targets have been struck to date, each strike further crippling the regime's offensive and defensive capabilities and creating more leverage for the United States and our allies. Compared to the start of the operation, Iran's ballistic missile and drone attacks are down by roughly 90%. The United States is also decimating the Iranian regime's navy. We have destroyed more than 150 of their naval vessels so far, including 92% of their largest vessels. The Iranian navy has no vessels operating in major regional waterways and no ability to project naval power, which is why they've been assessed as combat ineffective. Our military continues to obliterate Iran's defense industrial base with nearly 70% of their missile, drone, and naval production facilities and shipyards damaged or destroyed thus far, significantly reducing their ability to pose future threats in the region. U.S. and Israeli joint forces control the skies and have asserted air dominance over Iran, completing more than 11,000 successful combat flights thus far. The trend remains clear. The United States is conducting more intense, targeted strikes with devastating combat power with each passing day to destroy the threat posed by the Iranian terrorist regime, as President Trump sought out to do a month ago. It's no surprise that we are seeing the remaining elements of the regime become increasingly eager to end the destruction and come to the negotiating table while they still can. Despite all of the public posturing you hear from the regime and false reporting, talks are continuing and going well. What is said publicly is, of course, much different than what's being communicated to us privately. As a result, President Trump issued a 10-day pause to postpone planned strikes on Iranian power plants and energy infrastructure. This remains a truly once-in-a-generation opportunity for the regime to make a good deal with the United States, permanently abandon their nuclear ambitions, and stop acting as the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism. If the Iranians reject this golden opportunity, the greatest military in the history of the world continues to stand by to provide President Trump with every option available to ensure this regime continues to pay a grave price. One way or another, Iran will no longer have the credible ability to threaten the United States or our allies, which is, of course, the overall objective and mission the president set out when he launched Operation Epic Fury. Unfortunately, even as President Trump is working hard every single day to protect the United States from foreign enemies, Democrats on Capitol Hill have failed to do the same here at home by keeping the Department of Homeland Security unfunded. Over the past 6 weeks, Democrats in Congress have pushed our air travel system to its breaking point and inflicted massive pain on Americans with their reckless political aims. 500 TSA officers quit their jobs. Thousands more were calling out sick at record rates due to the lack of pay. This resulted in security wait times exceeding 3 hours at major airports across the country, creating nightmares for millions of Americans. Overall morale among TSA staff plummeted as well, all of this creating an unacceptable heightened security risk. Because of the Democrats' unwillingness to do their basic job of funding DHS, President Trump determined that these circumstances constituted an emergency compromising American security. That's why last week he accordingly signed a presidential memorandum directing the Secretary of Homeland Security to work with the Director of the Office of Management and Budget here at the White House to use those funds with a reasonable and logical nexus to TSA operations to provide TSA employees with the compensation and benefits that would have accrued to them but for the Democrat-led DHS shutdown. This bold and necessary action by President Trump will ensure our TSA workers receive their hard-earned paychecks. It should not have come to this point, but President Trump will always do what's right by the American people.
Well, it shows how after 9/11, they set up the TSA while the borders were wide open to do this humiliation ritual and grab our balls and put us through body scanners. It's total crap to go to foreign countries. They don't do all that. All for an Islamic threat they brought in, they protected, and the John McCain and Lindsey Graham secretly funded, and that's now been declassified. So they use the Islamic threat they fund and control to take our rights. I say get rid of all of it, put in private security at the airport. And they just tag on that as part of your bill. And then it's run 10 times better. Not against the individual TSA agents. A lot of them are listeners, but you know it's all a load of crap. And letting the federal government be in charge of all this key infrastructure allows it to then shut it down and hold us hostage, just like they did with COVID. And they're trying to pass all sorts of world government, New World Order crap that I'll get to next hour ahead of the Joe Kent interview and Harrison Smith being here with us. But let's go back to your calls. I got some of the questions with her coming up, too. Josh in Oregon Navy on the Iran war. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Alex.
Welcome.
So I do kind of disagree with some of your analysis. You're a really hard guy to reach. I've been trying to write you and get a hold of you. It seems like calling in on the air is the only way.
Well, you're on the air right now, bro. Unfiltered, uncensored. Let us have it.
Okay. So the...
Sounds like you're choking a little bit.
So the war in Iran is a bit of a distraction. I've seen this before when I was in the military, where... Back kind of after 9/11, you know, we went to war and then we pivoted. I see the same pattern happening right here where it's like it doesn't make sense what we're doing and then we'll end up doing something else. It's always sort of the same playbook there.
So what is the reason to derail our recovery and trigger mass inflation that kills the Trump recovery plan?
There's stuff going on here. And I've been trying to send you information about stuff that's going on here. It seems like the whistleblower is supposed to be the email to send things to. I haven't gotten any responses from there. I'm not sure what your filtering system is, but I've definitely got a lot more than I would have time just for a call in to.
All right, well, I appreciate your call. No, I'll tell you, the problem is we don't have a very big crew. And so we try to look at all this stuff. But you called in about Iran, not about stuff you sent me an email. See, I just, listen. Iran's a distraction? What, from Epstein? Maybe. It's derailing our entire recovery plan. It already has. It's going to get worse. God almighty. I've explained this ad nauseum, so I'm not going to do it again. But I've had all the economists on. I've looked at the numbers. Energy is the base level of any inflation. The fertilizer, one-third is not coming through. 27% of the oil and gas. It's causing a chain reaction. The Federal Reserve says they're about to raise interest rates. That kills Trump's recovery plan. And then we go bankrupt, which the globalists want. That's why Trump was given the advice to do this, so that he would destroy his own plan, just like they used COVID to lock down his recovery. Now he's taking the bait. This is COVID 2.0. So people are like, oh, yeah, it's over there, another war. No, it's not just watching targets blown up. And, you know, and Trump, well, we blew up a whole bunch of stuff today. We've blown up 13,000 things. Whoop-de-doo. They blocked the Strait of Hormuz. Andy in Florida, thanks for holding. Green Beret, Special Forces Operations in Iran. Give us your view.
Hey, what's going on, Alex? Good to be with you.
Welcome.
Hey, what I'm talking about, when I think this, the whole uranium and the nuclear option has been a feint from the get-go. It was a feint to pull us off. We know exactly what happened. Netanyahu had intel that where Jackpot was going to be, told him he was going to go, twisted Trump's arm, so now he got dragged into this. And I think it's a feint that we're going to go after uranium with any kind of special forces operations, Delta Force, SEALs at all.
That's what I was thinking this morning. Let me see if I guess right before you say it. They'll have some mission claim they got uranium and claim that's a reason to declare victory and leave.
It could be that, but I also think it's going to be, I mean, just the legit, just if you know anything about defeating hard targets like that, the logistical nightmare that goes along with it is crazy. Like, you're
what, trying to send troops in to take over armored underground fortresses? Yeah, because it's one thing to blow them up with 30,000-pound bombs. It's another thing to go take them, isn't it?
Well, 1,000%. But, I mean, as soon as you get on the ground, you're on the clock, right? And they're going to be trying to get to the access first to get to that uranium. Well, then logistically on the backside, you're going to need personnel who's going to know how to handle it. You're going to have a special container. You're going to have to go ahead and push it out. We're talking about hundreds of, and maybe a thousand pounds of material. Then you're going to have to load it on aircraft that has a weight capacity. What are you going to do? Bring in a special airfield to set up so you can move a shit ton of uranium real quick and get it out because you're on the clock.
What's does the Pentagon even have Jolly Green Giants anymore that could pick that up?
No, we'd have to go in and set up an airfield quickly, spontaneously, like a clandestine field, but it's not going to be clandestine, obviously. And then, but the big thing, what I'm saying is the counterattack that's going to take place, right? We're not worried about an Iranian QRF as in like.
Well, that's why I called it a trap.
Yes. 1,000%. And you're going to worry about drones coming in and ballistic missiles. And then we're going to be screwed. So what I really think is happening, honestly, is it's a feint. And I think Trump's going to push somewhere on the street with our boys because he's a businessman. He knows what the oil market is looking at, how it's tanking the economy. That's keeping him up at night more than anything else. And I think he is going to go in, use the uranium as a feint, and it's going to be a move on the street to secure the street somehow. And
sure, so he's doing that. I thought that too. He's doing that to draw their forces away to other spots.
Yes, that's where my mind's going in it. From the get-go.
Well, yeah, but the Iranians are smart. They know they've already moved that stuff out, so they know it's preposterous.
Exactly. And then you got scumbags like Mark Levin talking about military operations like he knows what he's speaking. And just showing his cards right from the gate. I mean, that guy is a despicable guy.
Shapiro said it too. He said, hey, you signed up for this. This is what you trained for. So people died. Have you heard that? You signed up for this.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I got 20 years under my belt as a Green Beret. You know what I mean? And when I hear scumbags like that throw American lives around so callously and easily, like they have no idea what they're speaking about and what and the harm that these men are going into.
Well, there's another thing. They killed 168 schoolgirls. They admit the U.S. did it. They picked the wrong target from a naval ship. And on the Lynn show, they laughed about it and said, okay, we had 13,000 targets and hit one wrong. Ha, ha, ha. They should have said, just for propaganda purposes, we won out of 13. We did the best. Our hearts go out to their families. But they had to laugh because they're villains. They couldn't even care. And now Trump wants to blow up their water plants. You know, that's a war crime.
Yeah, well, you know, what I like to do with those is just strap a kid on them and kick their ass out an aircraft with a parachute strapped to them and drop them in bad guy country and see what they think then, instead of making these callous comments.
You know, what do you make of Israel saying that they drug us into this, but they're not going to help us with a ground war?
Yeah, I read that too. And I mean, it's another reason, like, if that is true, what, you know, what are we doing at this point?
No, the Israeli government officially put a statement out saying we're not going to help you.
It's the same thing would happen in Iraq. Did they help us out, you know, in Iraq? No. And what everyone needs to understand, this isn't the GWAT, right? I was in war for 20 years in the GWAT. This is a hardened conventional force that we're going in to feed. And I'm all about killing bad guys and putting dudes in the ground when it's on our terms and it needs to be defend the United States of America. But at this point in time, we got roped into this bullshit, and now our whole economic plan and prosperity is going down the shitter, and it's just a bad look on
It's an absolute total plan. Thank you for the call, sir. All right, we're going to break. We have the great Harrison Smith, who got the powerful interview with Joe Kent, 11 tours combat, CIA commando, halfway through that, 6 bronze stars, list goes on and on. Life blown up over there, working with the CIA a few years ago in Syria. And he's never been anti-Israel. He just saw the intelligence reports as the head of counterterrorism and said, this is a really bad plan, the same report Trump got, the Joint Chiefs told him that. And so they made it all about him being a neo-Nazi leader with no evidence. Like they say, Hegg says a Nazi because he has a Jerusalem cross that's 800 years old and that is all over churches everywhere. There's a popular women's handbag hazard. People that don't know, Jerusalem cross over at Shot is classic cross. And then it's got little crosses here. They have those at fire departments everywhere. Oh, it's a Nazi. It's a Nazi. Same crap. Oh, Joe Kent's the leader of a Nazi coup. No, he resigned to draw attention to this disaster. He said he can't be part of this. And they call him a Nazi. It's just, it's beyond bizarre. It pissed everybody off. We're going to break. Please remember, today is a one-day event. Undoubtedly, the biggest sale we've ever had. 72% off when you subscribe, canceling time to get it locked in at cost, $16.99 a month. Our new Zeolite's detoxification system. Love the methylene blue, you'll love a Zeolite. But the normal price discounts 24%, $24. Also, limited edition InfoWars shirt with any subscription you make today at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us. The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have guys for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Our medical grade USP Ultra Methylene Blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and at Funzer Operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The United States has been pulled into Mission Impossible. If the mullahs don't fall, which they haven't, it's the ultimate quagmire. And it kills the economy with Strait of Hormuz. I want to play a few minutes of the ongoing press conference. We're getting questions, Caroline Levin, about the Iran war and more. Then we're going to come back with your phone calls. Harrison Smith teeing up this big exclusive interview that he got last Friday with Joe Kent. This is a powerful interview. You've only seen a few clips of it. Get ready for it coming up. Right here on air. But right now, let's go to Caroline Levin.
And one on DHS funding. Iran, the president has said that the administration is talking to a new and more reasonable regime. How confident are you that they are legitimate and have enough grip on power? Marco Rubio said earlier that he's not sure and it's not clear whether they will be in power. So are you also talking to other factions? As the president is trying to make a deal, how do you ensure that you're making a deal with the people who can actually implement it?
Well, that's part of the ongoing process that's taking place and the ongoing negotiations. Of course, anything that they say to us privately will be tested, and we will ensure that they are being held accountable to their word. And if they are not, the president has laid out the military consequences that
the Iranians want to give up. They're not negotiating.
If they don't
hold true
to the words that we are hearing privately.
When they let ships through to Russia or China, they claim that there's a gift to Trump. Just it's total la la land.
Then perhaps
can't
some
live
of
in a position to have to challenge Trump on everything because there's nothing but diarrhea lies coming out of his mouth.
They lied to the United States, and they strung us along in negotiations, and that was unacceptable to the president, which is why many of the previous leaders were killed. So again, this is another historic opportunity for Iran to do the right thing, to rid themselves of their nuclear ambitions, and to come to a deal with this president and the administration. Or again, they will see the grave consequences of the United States Armed Forces, which they are continuing to see every day throughout this operation.
On DHS, how long can the administration keep paying TSA without action from Congress? And not to be hyperbolic, but given the Air Force were really the pain point that was pushing both sides to talk to each other, I mean, do you see a way for DHS to reopen? Is it possible this keeps going through the midterms?
Well, we certainly hope so. I mean, of course, the president just can't keep signing presidential memorandums and proclamations every time Congress fails to do its job and every time Democrats are holding our entire country hostage, picking and choosing which programs and agencies they want to fund just because they don't like this administration's policies. That's not how it's supposed to work. They voted seven times against funding DHS over partisan and political reasons. And so, again, the president has stepped in to do the right thing at this moment in time, but the president is also encouraging Congress to come back to Washington to permanently fix this problem and to fund and reopen the Department of Homeland Security entirely.
Caroline?
Stephen.
Thank you, Caroline. Two questions, one on TSA, one on Iran. On TSA, for ordinary Americans watching the briefing, how long until everything goes back to normal at airports after the president's action? And then on Iran, on the time frame, President Trump initially said about 4 weeks. Secretary of State Rubio on Friday reportedly said it might be another 2 to 4. Is 2 to 4 the current ballpark that the administration is thinking?
With respect to the timeline, again, the president, commander-in-chief, the Pentagon has always stated 4 to 6 weeks estimated timeline for Operation Epic Fury. We're on day 30 today. So again, you do the math on how much longer the Pentagon needs to fully achieve the objectives of Operation Epic Fury, which I will reiterate: destroy the Iranian Navy, destroy their ballistic missiles, dismantle their missile and drone production infrastructure, significantly weaken their proxies throughout the course of this operation, and then, of course, preventing Iran from ever obtaining a nuclear weapon. To your first question, Stephen, about TSA and airports, nothing will be truly normal again until Democrats do the right thing to fund this agency fully. Again, the president has stepped in the meantime to do what's right to end this crisis that we've had at air travel and at airports across the country in the meantime. But again, Congress needs to come back. Democrats need to fund the Department of Homeland Security so we can formally and fully get these great employees paid long into the future. Jonathan.
Thanks a lot, Caroline. Two questions regarding the financial costs of the war. Back during the Persian Gulf War, 1990-1991, Arab countries paid for the vast majority of the cost of the war. Kuwait, Saudi Arabia.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big Panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue t-shirt, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Well, Harrison Smith knocks it out of the park. Mondays through Friday, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central on the War Room here at the Embattled InfoWars Studios. And you got Joe Kent interview last week. And what was important is Joe's done a lot of interviews, you know, defending himself under all these attacks, trying to get us out of this Iran war fiasco. He's been totally vindicated. So have we. But you asked the right questions. And I'm really proud of the fact that you have a lot deeper knowledge than most of the other talk shows. Not trying to put them down. We're trying to get people up to that knowledge. But there's a lot of big meat and potato stuff that we didn't put out. I think we probably only put out like 8 minutes of an hour long interview. These are questions Joe Kent was never asked coming up.
Yeah, and that was what we did on purpose, because I'd seen people online going, oh, another Joe Kent interview. And I thought, this is not going to be another Joe Kent interview. This is going to be an InfoWars Joe Kent interview, where I really put the questions to him that people are talking about online that nobody else is willing to ask. So I went out of my way to, you know, really ask him about the inside baseball, about how Israel manipulates the way people are even chosen. Because one thing I noticed was there was a official Israeli account called the Israeli War Room. It's got the gold badge there on X. It's an official government account of Israel. And they were responding to Laura Loomer and said, how did this guy ever get through the vetting process? How did this guy ever end up where he was? And to me, it's like, how is this foreign government saying, how did this guy get into this position in the American government? Why do they have a say-so? Why are they vetting people? And that's the type of thing that I know from other people, not from Joe Kent, but from other people who have tried to get jobs in the administration, have said there's a big Israeli influence and they want to make sure that nobody who disagrees with Israel or would counter, you know, a drive to a push for war with Iran, that they're not anywhere near the administration. So it's almost like the fact that Joe Kent was in the position that he was in was already a failure of the Israeli vetting process, and it seems like that's what they were really mad about. So it's that type of stuff that I tried to bring to the interview that nobody else is going to ask. I mean, they'll ask about the things in Joe Kent's letter and all that sort of stuff. I thought other people have already asked those questions. I want to ask the questions about how this really came to be, how we really got into the situation that we're in, and where it goes from here, while also, you know, making sure to lay down the foundation that this is all about actually, in a roundabout way, supporting Trump, in that we support what Trump originally was doing, and we recognize this Iran war as an absolute trap that Trump has fallen into, and that we want him out of it like we want the United States out of it. And that's not an attack on Trump as much as it is desperately trying to shake Trump to wake him up to the reality that we're in right now. So I was very, very satisfied, very happy with the interview that we got. There are a couple things about it that you should know. There were some connection issues. So occasionally you'll see kind of a jump or a skip in, or, you know, it'll be a white flash and it'll get back. And that was just us trying to deal with the disconnection.
No, that was the Israelis controlling us.
People always say,
when we go to break, we're censoring. No, there are hard breaks for 28 years, the same time. Because we're still on talk radio, folks, for younger people that don't know what that is. It's called networking, little breaks. But getting back to this, the big thing is you get into the Iran war is a trap by the globalists, derail the Trump recovery, just like COVID was, and that Israel has effectively staged a foreign policy coup.
That's right.
But then he gets way more into that and so much more. So this is a big interview that's an hour long. So with our breaks and things, you'll probably need to start getting to this at about 35, 40 after.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, I got a few phone calls, too, I want to go to that tie into all of this. But what do you make of Lindsey Graham showing up at Disney World by himself, wandering around in photos, playing with Mickey Mouse, talking to children, and holding a princess wand? What do you make, if we can pull up the HD of that? I mean, this is the main architect, Israeli operative globalist, who's been caught now. And people are calling for him to be criminally charged for funding al-Qaeda with billions of dollars. Is the secret weapon the prince's scepter?
I mean, it kind of makes sense. This was his Super Bowl. What do you do, when you win the Super Bowl? I'm going to Disneyland. He got his
Disney
victory.
World, yeah.
Disney World. He got his victory. He got his championship that he's been driving for decades at this point.
And where do Epstein-like people celebrate? Disney World.
Well, yeah, he had Epstein had a special connection to Disney World, if you read some of his emails. So, yeah.
Yeah, and the ships were docked there at his island.
Yeah.
Let's go back to what do you... imagine he knows what he looks like. His victory lap is parading around. There's hundreds of these photos with a princess wand. So what does he want? What is the message there?
It is so bizarre. I don't even know. And of course, he's on vacation, right? He's having a good time. I mean, you know, the American people out there might be suffering. We're very worried about the coming economic disaster because of the Iran war. But since, you know, the Senate has said, we're done here. We've done enough. We're all going to go on vacation. So they've gotten absolutely nothing done, which is why it's like, you know, in this, it's like there's this, you know, people are crapping on Trump, but no, the Senate and the Congress, the Republicans in Senate and Congress are worse than Trump ever was. So,
that's,
I mean.
That's right. Well, my point is, exactly. People go, oh, the liberals. Oh, Alex admits Trump was always bad. He was wrong. No, he was great until about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And so whatever reason it is, but we still need to get involved in the midterms. The Democrats are even worse. Trump wants to destroy himself. That's the point. But what do they do about the Strait of Hormuz? I mean, we already have, you know, major inflation coming in. They're going to raise interest rates over this. Trump was so concerned about that. This is going to derail the whole plan.
Well, it's so stupid because now apparently our goal aim for the war is to just get it back to where it was before the war started with the passing through the Strait of Hormuz. It's ridiculous to think that nobody knew this was going to happen. I mean, it's just outrageous that they're even claiming that. Everybody knew this was going to happen. I think all of this was on purpose. I think all of this was by design, and it's all intended, just like COVID-19 was, to destroy the entire world, destroy the world's economy, lock us down. They're already doing the shutdowns in countries all over the world. It's only going to get worse. It almost has to be on purpose. I can't see any other
way. Well, I mean, the globalists think all this through, and Larry Fink wants regime change, where he says the Strait will never be opened. No, you make a deal, it will be. So again, yeah, they want to cut things off. They want to blame it on Trump. And Trump's walked into the trap. And meanwhile, Lindsay's celebrating with Mickey Mouse and kids. This is just one photo. We have many. There with the princess scepter. Is that the spear of destiny he has right there?
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. It's at Disney World, so it probably cost him $100. You know, it's a little piece of plastic spinning
But he feels
around.
Powerful with it.
I guess so.
Guys,
you know?
Type in German field marshals with scepters. Because they held those too. Like
that's what it is.
Hermann
yeah.
Goering and
yeah,
all of yeah. them. He's got a scepter.
Right. Well, they were horse whips, and they would use them back in the day. That's how you give orders on the battlefield, right? You'd have different fans or different scepters that you would wave around to give instructions to troops. It's a symbol of power. Maybe that's what it is. He has his pink princess scepter of power. It's appropriate, actually. It's amazing.
Well, they say Lindsey Graham's like a vampire.
How so?
He doesn't drink blood, he drinks semen.
Oh, good Lord. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest.
You know, in the Quran, did you know that Muhammad had his superpowers because 30 black men inseminated him?
And that's Lindsey Graham following that?
No, I mean, people don't know this. I say that. I think I'm going to play clips out of the Quran tomorrow.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know anything about that.
Oh, you want to see the clips?
Kind of, yeah. I've never heard that.
There you go. It's in there, and it's in the Hadiths, too. Oh, the Hadiths have even greater. You know what? Get this ready. We had it last week on a plan. Well, this is the most shocking thing I've heard about Muhammad. That's the name of it. It's Blake S. Taylor. That's in there. I wrote it myself. Yes. So we think stuff's, you know, new under the sun. No, it's not.
No, it's not at all. And, of course,
he did the original BBC gangbangs. Muhammad did. They're not just marrying five-year-olds, bro.
Wow, well,
five-year-old girls. I mean, that's the you know, that's just part of it.
Well, now you're making me think Lindsey Graham might be onto something.
Well, you know, he's the main funder of Al Qaeda and ISIS. That's come out in Congress now.
Right. Well, and of course, you know, we had a big part in the overthrow of.
Remember the Pritzkers and people going, "Oh, boys with toys." I mean, with little boys in Afghanistan.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Islamic culture is pedophilia.
Yeah.
And so, who knows what that scepter means?
Well, Lindsey Graham, I mean, he's just a repulsive person. And the fact that he has remained in power for so long is really, an indictment of the good people of South Carolina. Y'all gotta get this guy out.
Well, by the way, listeners, I'm not joking when I just said that about Muhammad. It's in the Hadiths and it mentions the events when he became superhuman. This particular tribe that was there that was black were known for their prowess. And it says Muhammad rode 30 men and got their power.
Is that real?
No, it's real. Guys, can you get the video? How fast? No, it's this one right here. This one right here. Well, this is the most shocking thing I've heard about Muhammad. This one right here. Oh, you have another one about that. Well, go ahead and play the other one we have there. Go ahead and roll it.
Know that the Prophet Muhammad had intercourse with 30 black men in one night? The story is narrated by Ibn Masud, a close friend of Prophet Muhammad. He says that one night, Prophet Muhammad took him out to the desert and drew a line in the sand and told him not to cross it. Muhammad then says that if he does cross the line, he will perish or be punished. Once it becomes nighttime, Ibn Masud narrates that a bunch of black people came out with their hair and their bodies fully exposed, not wearing any clothes. Ibn Masud then says, and again, I'm not joking, that they came and started riding the Messenger of Allah all night long. Many Muslims will try and say that this hadith is not authentic, but keep in mind, it was written by a friend of Muhammad. Not to mention, it's not only in one hadith, but two. Other Muslims will try and claim that this word riding doesn't actually mean riding. However, other Islamic texts literally use the exact same Arabic word to describe riding an animal. Not to mention, the same phrase is also used as a euphemism for intercourse. This Arabic dictionary literally defines it as having intercourse. It only gets worse from there because we actually know why Muhammad would want to be ridden by all of these men. You see, there was a myth going around in Muhammad's time that said if you receive the semen from another man, you are actually able to have the same strength as that man. This is so important because the hadith says that the people Muhammad slept with were as if they were zut. This is a reference to the al-zut who were known for their sexual prowess and strength. So Muhammad, police be upon him, or I guess al-Zut be upon him, was trying to gain the strength of these al-Zut. This is probably why Sahih al-Bukhari brags that the Prophet had the strength of 30 men. Actually, no, he didn't just have it, he was given it. You would probably expect someone to be extremely exhausted from all of this riding, and that's exactly what Muhammad experienced. He returned very weary and exhausted due to what he had ridden. Poor Muhammad, he probably needed some comforting after that. Which is exactly why Muhammad then puts his head into the lap of his friend and falls asleep there. Seems like maybe Muhammad was looking for a little bit more al-Zut. Keep in mind, Muslims, Muhammad is the perfect example of how we are to live. I can't wait to see all of you getting zooted this Ramadan. God bless.
All right, let's go to one more, okay? Let's go to one more. This is from their holy books on the Quran. And it's all documented. Here it is.
Muhammad was famous among his followers for being able to handle 9 or even 11 women and girls in a single night. Consider a few passages. Bahih al-Bukhari, 5068. Narrated Anas, the prophet used to go around.
Turn this over. Because of, you know, Trump has this time machine now, they control time and space, they said. They had a time machine, went back 1500 years ago to Muhammad when this happened. Actual photo taken by the time explorers when they were there. Let's put that on screen. There's a photo of Muhammad there. There he is, very handsome. That's an actual photo right before the ritual began. Sorry. Let's go back to the video.
Muhammad was famous among his followers for being able to handle 9 or even 11 women and girls in a single night. Consider a few passages. Bahih al-Bukhari, 5068. Narrated Anas, the prophet used to go round, have sexual relations with all his wives in one night, and he had 9 wives. Sahih al-Bukhari, 268. Narrated Qatada, Anas bin Malik said, the prophet used to visit all his wives in a round during the day and night, and they were 11 in number. I asked Anas, had the prophet the strength for it? Anas replied, we used to say that the prophet was given the strength of 30 men. That's an oddly specific number, isn't it? Why 30 specifically? You have no clue how common relationships between grown men and adolescent boys were in the ancient and medieval periods. Mature, immature male homosexual behavior was pervasive in Islamic societies. Immature male homosexual attractions were seen as just as normal as heterosexual ones. Mature, immature male homosexual behavior was highly organized in this warrior society. Semen was viewed necessary for growth to be a strong warrior. They believed that virility and manliness could be injected into a boy by a man. Muhammad was known for being gullible and believing whatever people told him. He said that Adam was 90 feet tall, 60 cubits. He said that if a fly falls into your drink, you should dunk the fly in the drink because one of the wings has the disease, but the other wing has the cure for the disease. He told his followers to drink camel urine as medicine. Muhammad apparently just believed whatever people told him. Muhammad had an interesting way of taking practices that were geared towards children and applying them to adults. For example, Muhammad shocked his followers by claiming that a grown man can absorb a woman's breast milk and become her son. What else can a grown man absorb? Imagine a man who's known as the ear, hearing about men injecting their manliness and virility into boys. Suppose this man wants to become the most virile, masculine, potent man on the planet. How would he go about that? He would assemble a team of men known for their sexual prowess. The men who were most famous for their sexual prowess were the men of Al-Zut.
Al-Zut are also depicted as being very sexual and virile, with very large penises.
The men of Al-Zut transfer their virility and manliness into Muhammad. The Messenger of Allah went off a stone's throw away. Then he, Abdullah, mentioned a group of male members who looked like Zut people. They didn't have any clothes on. They came and started to ride the Messenger of Allah. The men of Al-Zut rode Muhammad all night long. 30 men of Al-Zut gathered in the desert and injected their masculinity into the Prophet of Islam, making him the most powerful man in the world.
And you can say, oh, we don't believe all their holy books. Okay, well, I can show you 100 videos today of them marrying 6-year-olds off to men. Let's show this. There's a 9-year-old being sold into sex slavery to a 70-year-old man. Here it is.
My father has sold me because we don't have bread, rice, and flour. He has sold me to an old man. He's bought parwana for 200,000 Afghanis, just over $2,000. Covered up, Parwana whimpers as her mother holds her. This is your bride. Please take care of her, says Parwana's father. Of course I will take care of her, replies the man. His large hands grab her small frame. Parwana tries to pull away.
Feminists love this. They love Islam.
As he carries her only bag of belongings, she again resists.
She's a terrorist.
Digging her heels into the dirt. But it's futile. The fate of this small, helpless child has been sealed.
Oof. And yeah, in the Quran, pedophilia is legal. But if it's a man with a man, then it's not. But if you repent, then it's okay.
Well, there's the was it Baki Bazi or whatever they call it in Afghanistan? I mean, it's
boys dancing.
Yeah, the boys dancing. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I got a bunch more of them marrying. Oh, here's a guy marrying a 6-year-old. People want to see that? I think we've probably seen enough, right? I don't want to hear this crap from the Muslims. Okay? It's well known what happens to you in a Turkish prison.
God. And of course you see the, mayors, American mayors going around putting the hijab on for, you know, cultural understanding.
Oh, it's the women, the liberals, the gays, the lesbians with their breasts hanging out, which I always say, they're always so ugly, with Palestinian flags.
Yeah.
People say, well, then why aren't you for blowing up Iran? Out of all the groups, Iran doesn't do this. The Shiites don't do this.
Yeah.
So, they're the really bad ones too.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the more you learn about other religions, the more it makes me sure Christianity's the right one. That's how I feel.
Oh, they predicted the worldwide government, cashless society, 3 world governments.
Today's the day Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple. As if you couldn't, like, write a more perfect scene.
He never got violent, but with them.
But with them. And he didn't do it out of anger. Somebody, I mentioned that on X.
No, he didn't.
Somebody
commented, noted.
Saying he braided the whip. He sat there. He thought about it. It wasn't out of anger. He didn't see it and go, and just go, you know, get angry. No, he said, you know what? This is what needs to be done. I'm going to braid this whip and drive them out of the temple. And that's exactly what he did today on this day.
Because they took a coin that they made you pay with that was rare, so you had to pay like 20 times what the sacrifice was.
It was literally like monetary manipulation, where you had to use a certain type of money to buy the sacrificial stuff, and so they would inflate the price of the temple money and basically extort the people that had come there, the tourists.
Speaking of that, I'm all about Trump getting us out of globalism, but not just taking it over and replacing it with a new form of globalism. Here's a clip we'll get ready here. We'll play it after the break, and I'll turn the baton over to you just to set up this incredible joke and interview, which, by the way, has been posted to Real Hawk Jones on X. Harrison Smith, where people find you on X?
I'm at Harrison H. Smith.
Harrison H. Smith on X?
Yep.
And it's very important that you share this full joke and interview, because nobody's interviewing the way we have. They tried to demonize him. They tried to attack him. This guy's telling the truth. Get the video now. It's posted on Real Hawk Jones on X, the second post under the live show feed at Real Hawk Jones on X. And by the way, these all belong to you. Take it. Upload the whole thing. Take clips out. We get constant emails. We can't respond to it. Do I have permission to use your stuff? Everything I've done for 32 years has a non-exclusive license, meaning I own it, you own it, use it however you want. In full, in part, these broadcasts belong to you. I've been saying that forever.
Yep.
That's why they think shut down InfoWars. They said they're going to try to ban my old videos and they own it. But the lawyers have all looked at it and said 100%, because I did that 30 plus years ago and 5 years ago. There's contracts on the site because stations wanted to air stuff, TV stations, and I had to constantly, going like 25 years ago, sign agreements to let me air my stuff. I talked to lawyers. They said, just put a general license up for everybody. Download this. This is before they had Internet Commons and all that. We did it.
Yeah.
This, stop asking for permission. Listen, we're on Rumble, we're on X, we're sensitive everywhere else, but we get leaked out everywhere else as well. The most viral stuff we see is not even on our sites. Every day I like pop up, oh, that's got 2 million views today, that's got 1 million, 3 million, 4 million, 10 million. It's somebody else, usually a little account, just uploads it. Do it. That's how you get around the censors.
And tag us and we'll share it around. I love seeing that. If anybody uploads a clip from my show and tags me in it, as soon as I see it in my notifications, I hit retweet. Even if later, sometimes I'll go back and I'm like, oh man, this clip is terrible. The audio's all off and there's his phone notifications going off, but I don't even care. I retweet it. If you upload a clip from our show, I will retweet it and help you spread your account. So please. You know, tag InfoWars, tag at Real Alex Jones, tag at Harrison H. Smith, and we will retweet your stuff because we just want this information out there. Absolutely.
And the full interview is there, but you also hold back a few clips from the interview you're going to have on your show today.
Right.
That's at 3 p.m. Central, the War Room.
Yes, sir.
With Harrison Smith. All right. We only got a few minutes. When we come back, because you guys were getting into the Joe Kent interview.
Yep.
I'm going to come back and just quickly take a few calls.
Sounds good.
And then we'll hand the baton over to you. We'll start the Kent thing, and you can bring us in on a break. Harrison, I really appreciate the great job you're doing.
Thank you.
I really appreciate this crew, all they've been through, and putting up with me, because I'm definitely in war mode. Don't forget, today's a very special day. I didn't even plug this hour. We have 72% off on the new Zeolite for anybody that subscribes, canceling time, that locks it in at cost. That's insane. Plus, every order on the site, the subscription gets a free limited edition t-shirt, and every order gets a mystery bundle with mugs, decals, wristbands, and more. The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have God for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. We have a new product in at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity, with no letdown, and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game-changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
All right, I want to hit a few final phone calls to go to the Joe Kent exclusive interview that the great Harrison Smith got. And again, you guys were talking when you put the post out on X that, yeah, Israel's going to kill Kirk, he thinks. And indeed, I didn't want to say day one Israel did it, but with all the stuff we see now, prime suspects. I mean, I'm there. I just didn't want to jump the gun, folks. I like to go off what we know. But here's Hegseth. Now I'm going to do a lot on this tomorrow. Because in the whole globalist North American Union stuff, they said we'll have a North American security perimeter. Mexico, U.S., Canada. Now, with the U.S. now coming in and saying, no, it's all a security zone, not meaning full control, but we claim it's a security zone, it's another thing. But the way I see Trump going sideways, I'm really concerned about this. Here's a clip of Hegseth.
That is why President Trump has drawn a new strategic map from Greenland to the Gulf of America to the Panama Canal and its surrounding countries. At the Department of War, we call this strategic map the Greater North America. Why? Because every sovereign nation and territory north of the equator, from Greenland to Ecuador and from Alaska to Guyana, is not part of the global south. It's our security perimeter in this great neighborhood that we all live in. Each one of these countries border either the North Atlantic or the North Pacific. Each one of these countries sits north of the two basic geographic barriers that exist in this region, the Amazon and the Andes Mountains. This is basic geography that we don't teach in schools as much as we should. And it restores our north-south relations, and we must get it right. In the north, the United States must enhance posture and presence in cooperation with you and our sovereign partners to defend our shared immediate security perimeter. In the south, meaning south of the equator, the other side of this great neighborhood, we will strengthen partnerships through increased burden sharing. This will enable you to take a greater role to defend the South Atlantic and the South Pacific and to secure critical infrastructure and resources in partnership with us and other Western nations. This is what we did in World War II, just like we sunk ships with torpedoes in World War II. At the Department of War, we called it the Quarter Sphere Defense. And we will do this again. If we're serious about our...
So, this is the Monroe Doctrine coming back, and I overall get it. But that doesn't give the U.S. the right to invade any of these countries they want. So we'll see what unfolds. Harrison, your take on this?
Yeah, it is. It's, it's uncomfortably similar to sort of the 10 world nations, that were originally established, where it would be the North American continent, the South American continent, the African continent, and basically these would all be, run like states, kind of in a Brave New World-esque
super state
style. Yeah. And of course managed all by a central New World Order. So, yeah,
say that's what this is, but our plan for this hemisphere is an earlier plan. We have to watch it very closely.
Yeah.
Gateway Pundit headline back up. I know he's trying to blow up their power plants or their water plants, a war crime. Now he's saying serious discussion underway to end our military operations in Iran, trying to destroy electric plants, oil wells, Karg Island, and desalination plants. That's kind of a repeat he just did again.
Yeah, well, he just keeps...
But notice they keep saying we're not negotiating. He keeps extending the deadline out.
Well, and every Monday morning, right before the markets open, he likes putting out a thing saying, oh, actually, we're on the cusp of peace. It's about to be done. We're in talks. And, of course, Iran says, no, we're not.
Meanwhile, silver and gold are exploding again. Let's take a few calls here. Thanks for holding. Joe in FEMA Region 6 Army, give us your take on this.
Alex, hi there. This is Joe. I wanted to give you a couple of, kind of wilder theories and push back a little bit on the first caller. I agree with some of the previous callers that he might have been a bit of a troll because he got a lot of, well, he got a lot of momentum from what he said about Joe Kent, but there's two things I want to offer on that. Is number one, I don't expect people to have watched it, but they really should watch his interview on Sean Ryan. Knocked it out of the park. Very excited to see what you guys got out of him the other day. Kent makes the point that a lot of this problem would actually go away in a big part if we at least partially re-implemented the draft. Because one of the consequences of having an all-volunteer force is that, like that caller said, we did volunteer for this draft. We volunteered repeatedly. But I think that what that caller made the mistake of suggesting there is that we're not allowed to change our minds. We're not allowed to have been under the umbrella.
Well, also, just because you volunteer doesn't mean you can carry out an illegal operation that's pure war and unauthorized by Congress to blow up water plants.
That's 100% correct. There's Ken also, again, alludes to something that I think that McGregor, Colonel McGregor, often speaks of. Kent made the point that we don't fight like the Israelis, and Ryan responded with, "Well, yeah, they fight like a war should be fought, which is we destroy and kill everything in between us and the objective." And he's right, but Sean and Joe both came back with, "But that's not how we have ever fought wars, with the exception of like little episodes where we took the gloves off, you know, in the Civil War, obviously, sometimes in the Revolution, but also in World War II. It's not that."
And that all comes from George Washington about having the moral high ground.
That's right. Once we lose the moral high ground, McGregor, like I said, makes this point. We are an exceptional military when it comes to light infantry doctrine, cavalry doctrine, and naval doctrine. And that makes us very powerful in North America. Elsewhere, we've got to be very focused on what we're doing, and that relies on not being surrounded. Once we lose the moral high ground, we're kind of screwed. We have to rely on just overwhelming firepower.
Exactly, and Mark Levin making jokes about 168 schoolgirls dying, he knows undermines us.
And see, that gets into something I wanted to suggest, Alex, and I'm going to do it quickly because I don't want to take a lot of your time, but what if it is possible that, like, and this is going to be an extreme stretch, but let's pretend that the Orange Man is still a good guy. Is it possible that at the very top of the military, it was determined that we are already in World War III? And as such, one of the pillars that would need to be necessary is the elimination of Iran from the board.
Oh, no, that's it. We're at war with Russia. Thanks for the call. I mean, that's why this is happening, which Trump says he wants to stop, so stop that. It's all connected, and Trump doesn't get that. Well, let's take a call from Lee in Kansas, Marine, worked on subs, nuclear weapons. We got a few minutes. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you for taking my call, Alex. I'm watching this war as it's playing out, and I think ultimately the goal is to make the Strait of Hormuz a free freedom of navigation site protected by either the United States or the United Nations eventually. Although nobody will go into this with us except for the states that are around there who are.
Yeah, they're going to use the Arab states to create an international security zone.
Yes, exactly. It is not a right of that country with its regime and their intentions to eventually produce nuclear weapons, which they may already have, to be able to shut off 20% of what they know.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with them doing it, but they said they do it. They've done it.
Alex is where I'm going with this. And it's not going to be easy. We just took off the top 50, 60 people in that administration, from the Ayatollah Khomeini all the way down to his advisors, plus the head of the IRGC. And you got to remember, they're in a severe situation there with that drought. You're going to end up with a lot of people coming south if we start taking land, either that island right there at the strait, Qasim Island, or we move into Banda Abbas. I don't know what they're planning on doing, but...
No, you're right, but a collapse of Iran will trigger different factions to invade Kuwait immediately. It's been wargamed.
Oh, we have troops in Kuwait and backup in Kuwait there. You know, that's where Saudi Arabia would have to come in, and I believe they have a defense pact with Kuwait.
But why do you think the Pentagon advised Trump not to do this because of all these problems?
They are trying to get nuclear weapons. They've been screaming, you know, death to the United States, death to Israel for 47 years.
Yeah, and in 47 years it didn't happen. And you're not looking at the aftermath or the chain reaction. Why did the Pentagon assessment tell Trump 90% chances doesn't work? See, you're not, Israel wants to suck us into a full war. I appreciate your call. All right, that's it for now. Harrison comes back with bookends on all this. You don't want to miss it. The Joe Kent Simpson interview, like you've not seen him yet, starts now. Full interview on X Real Alex Jones. Watch it right now. Share it right now. It's on Real Alex Jones. It's posted on the front page of Infowars.com. Share it right now. They don't want this information getting out.
Seems to me like there's been a coup against America performed by Israel. Is that too extreme of a thing to say? a year ago, I would have said yeah, but right now at this point, based on what I've seen over the course of the last year, and then when you take that data and you look at basically the trajectory and the history of our wars in the Middle East in my lifetime, at least over the last 25 years, you see Israel has stood to gain from all of them. Israel's advocated for all of these different wars, but especially in the last Trump's return to the ecosystem I described, and aggressively pushed this regime change war. I don't think saying it's a coup is putting it too lightly. I mean, a lot of people will push back and say, no, it's not a coup whatsoever. We want this. And they'll go back to that same narrative that us and Israel have the same goals. But actually, I think more and more, the more time that goes on in this war that we're in right now, we can see that us and Israel just do not have the same goals. When the president of the United States gets out there and says he can't say who he's negotiating with in Iran because he's afraid that they'll be killed, and everyone knows he's talking about they'll be killed by the Israelis because the Israelis have been killing the moderates and killing the negotiators. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know.
Joe Kent has been called a lot of things by a lot of people since his resignation in protest about the Iran war and his resignation from the Trump administration. He's been called, well, probably the worst things you ever could be called by the likes of Alan Dershowitz, who claimed he was a neo-Nazi of some sort. I would say, if I'm going to call Joe Kent one thing, it's whistleblower. I think he has blown the whistle on a very important and very dangerous situation in our federal government, and particularly in the Trump administration. And I think by doing that, he has made all of America aware of something that has been hidden from us for a very long time. I consider his act an act of incredible bravery and patriotism, and I'm absolutely honored to have him on the program today. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Great to see you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I guess just first off, how's it going? It's how long has it been since you resigned? It feels like it's been 5-10 years by now, but I guess it's only been about a week. How have things been going for you?
It's been a busy week. Been doing everything I can to try and get the word out as much as I possibly can, with the effort of hopefully letting President Trump know that he has other options here and that he has been deceived in my view, so that he can rapidly get us out of the situation we found ourselves in with regards to Iran.
Well, that was actually going to be my first question is, is your resignation an attack on Trump, or is this an effort to help Trump? Because I feel like I oppose this Iran war, and I'm desperate to like wake Trump up and try to get him to see things from my angle, not because I don't like him, because I'm worried about the effect this is having for his presidency, his legacy, and of course for America. How are you approaching this? And are you approaching this from a place of love for Trump?
Absolutely. A place of love for President Trump himself, all he has stood for over the years, and then the overall movement that he built. And one of the core tenets of the movement was obviously no more endless wars, but also don't get involved in stupid regime change wars in the Middle East. And I think President Trump did a great job of articulating this both as a candidate, but then also implementing it in his first administration. So look, that I am coming from a place of obviously frustration that I couldn't affect the situation anymore from where I was within the administration. And then also just personally, I can't be part of yet another regime. President Trump's attention to how we got ourselves into this mess. And so look, I have the utmost respect for him. I understand he's frustrated with me. I understand people that were once my colleagues are frustrated with me as well. But again, I'm trying to respectfully reach the president.
Well, so if you were sitting in front of the president right now, if you had 2 minutes to give him advice at this point, you know, not going back in time, but just like from where we are now, what's the path forward? What do you think the best strategy to take from here on out is?
Don't get caught in the game of putting boots on the ground, because that will make us put us in a situation that only leads to further escalation. I think step one, he has to restrain the Israelis. The Israelis drove us to enter this conflict. He knows that. I mean, at one point in time, he's even said it. Secretary Rubio has said it. Anybody who was on the inside, we understand that we ended up attacking the state. Or off ramp, is restraining the Israelis. Stop listening to the Israelis. Tell them that they are done going on the offense. They are done trying to thwart his efforts to negotiate. And he's got to do that by actually taking things away from the Israelis. Right now, the Israelis, because of the military support that we give them, they have the ability to defend their homeland, but also to go on the offense. So you have to take away enough military hardware and support from them that they can no longer go on the offense. I'm not saying leave them high and dry. I'm saying they only get the bare minimum to stay on the defense. That's step one into getting any kind of negotiation. Then from there, I think he needs to do what he does best. He needs to directly negotiate with whoever is in charge inside of Iran. And I think he can actually get a deal through the sheer force of his will and all the experience that he has as a deal maker.
So what would it look like if Trump actually tried to stop Israel from exercising its will in the Middle East? I mean, could he even do that? Would, you know, politicians in Congress not step in to, you know, try to fill the gap? I mean, what would the response be if Trump were to try to restrain Israel?
I think there would be major political backlash, as you alluded to. But the good thing is that President Trump is able to do very big things. He is an unpredictable force, and he's a force to be reckoned with. So I think he would get a lot of initial pushback. But if he stood strong and said, look, this has gone on long enough, we've done Israel enough favors. President Trump has a lot of credibility with the Israeli lobby. I mean, he moved the embassy to Jerusalem. He killed Qasem Soleimani. So he can't really be accused of being weak on Iran. He can't be accused of being weak on Israel. If he stands strong on that, I think President Trump actually has the political capabilities and the political will and power to basically say, hey, Israel, like, you're done. We're paying for this war. We're going to meet our strategic objectives, not pursue yours. Because I think a key part of this is realizing that we have a very different strategic objective than the Israelis do.
Right. So what is our objective versus what is their objective? And I know this can get pretty complicated, or, you know, there's a lot of speculation, but I can't even tell what either side's goal is because they keep changing so often. What is Israel's goal and what is our goal in this as far as you can tell?
Yeah, this is a key point. We have not very well defined ours. Now, the Israelis, from an American lens, it seems like theirs is like chaotic and disjoined, but the Israelis are perfectly clear on what their objective is. Their objective is to knock out the current regime. And if it takes multiple iterations of continuing to kill their leaders, continuing to kill the IRGC, and it creates some degree of chaos in Iran, they don't really care. If it creates chaos in the region, the Israelis don't care. As long as the IRGC and the Ayatollahs in Iran are not funding proxies that are attacking Israel or going after the Israeli strategic goal is met. They have a high tolerance for chaos, whereas we do not. We have said basically, you know, very little about what our actual in-state and strategic goal is. You hear Secretary Hegseth and others come out and they list off like this list of things we want to bomb. We want to bomb their Navy. We've taken out their Navy, their ballistic missiles, et cetera. And those are like kind of tactical objectives, but they're not true strategic objectives. And so I think this is why it's a great time for President Trump basically to say, we accomplished all of our objectives. We took out all this military hardware that the regime once had. We've met our goals. We're done. It's time to negotiate. Time to reopen the Straits of Hormuz to get energy flowing again.
And yet we've heard the likes of, you know, Ben Shapiro and other, you know, pro-war advocates say, well, you know, this is going to be, we're in it for the long haul now. And yeah, people are going to die, but, you know, we can't, now that we're in it, we can't extricate ourselves, which, of course, to those of us that were warning against the war in Iran from before it ever broke out, this was always the point, wasn't it? I mean, this was always a trap. At least that's how it appeared to me.
If you look historically, the American people actually have some patience. Our shortest wars were longer than the current conflict. The Persian Gulf War involved 43 days of active operations. The Kosovo NATO air war lasted for 78 days, even deposing Noriega in Panama in the late 80s. That lasted for 6 weeks. And also, Americans are not dumb. We don't believe that if you're involved in military activity, you're not going to lose anybody. Because, again, if necessary military activity can only be pursued at zero cost, there's no use in having a military. Literally, the point of a military is to do hard and dangerous things. That's why our military members are heroes. That's because they're willing to undertake that sacrifice for a greater good.
Do you think this was always a trap, or do you think that, you know, it could have gone well, it could have gone differently in the early days, but now we're in it. I mean, do you think this was deliberate or not?
this is deliberate, and this was a trap, and this was the trap that the pro-Israel lobby and the Israelis themselves really wanted President Trump to fall into. Because once you start committing forces and you start saying, like, through our sheer will, we're going to change the regime, through force, we're going to change the regime, and it's suddenly going to overnight become a pro-American government that we can deal with, much in the way that we did in Venezuela. That is a recipe for basically a never-ending war. And like, look, we should know better. This is a big reason why I had to resign, because we do know better. We saw this happen in Iraq. We saw this happen in Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, Yemen, you name it. We've been there, done that. We shouldn't have fallen for this. I just reflect on, had we gotten to, you know, the first couple of rough spots we had in Iraq and Afghanistan, we still had very murky objectives. Had we left then and cut our losses, how many lives would have been saved? How many trillions would have been saved? And so I think we should learn from our past and get out now while we still can.
It seems genuinely insane that that is not a more common mindset. I mean, that we have been through this for my entire life, right? I'm 36 years old. My entire life has been war after war, quagmire after quagmire in the Middle East. And to see us falling for it again is inexplicable to me. Except in understanding that Trump is sort of kept in this bubble. And you've explained this, and you talk about how it's not just about the advisors around him, but it's about the media he consumes and how they all seem to be sort of working together to present an argument to Trump, and specifically to Trump. I've described it almost like it's like Truman Show-esque. They've almost created a false reality around him. I mean, how are they able to do that? And how is that bubble around him not able to be penetrated by people that know better, the vice president, his sons? I mean, how do they maintain that bubble around him if that's truly what's happening?
From my vantage point, that is basically what happened in the Truman Show. Is a good analogy to use. I just call it the echo chamber. Look, the Israelis have great access to senior decision makers within our government and within Trump's inner circle and President Trump himself. And so they'll use those relationships basically to kind of circumvent like the traditional channels of even having to go through the intelligence community or diplomats. So kind of what we were saying in the IC wasn't necessarily listened to all the time, and it wasn't the best, venue for getting things in front of the president. And then you'd have at the same time the media talking heads saying almost the exact same thing. So there was definitely a good deal of coordination with the media talking heads and with what the Israelis were trying to inject into official channels, creating that media echo chamber, in particular to move President Trump's own red line. I mean, Trump said Iran can't have a nuclear weapon. The former supreme leader said, yeah, we agree. We have a fatwa that's been in effect since 2004 that we won't have a nuclear weapon. And so that was a direct threat to the Israelis. The Israelis sought to move the red line to no enrichment. And they basically did that by just repetition, by coming in and saying, no, America's policy is what Mike Pompeo said in 2018 when he was your Secretary of State. It's no enrichment. And then they said that night after night on, Mark Levin, the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, putting out, think pieces on this, getting it ran in the New York Post and the New York Times, until it kind of just became a reality. And then we had a robust debate about the 12-day war and about Operation Midnight Hammer leading up to those operations. And there was a lot of dissent. There was a lot of people putting out alternative ways that we could get out of this. And I think because in the end, we sort of, not just me, but a lot of us called this and said, hey, Midnight Hammer is going to be, it's great if you can just smash these targets and be done. But even if we are successful in that bombing campaign, the Israelis are going to come right back to us and demand regime change. Because again, the Israelis were very clear about what they wanted. And so I think post June, they created a very small circle around President Trump, and he didn't hear any alternatives. And then Venezuela happened, and President Trump was led to believe that our military can just go in and remove leaders and it will work out, flawlessly. And I think we just got we used some skill, but we also had a lot of luck on our favor in Venezuela. And Venezuela is not Iran. And then you had the protests in January, and the Israelis came in and said, look, the Iranians are on the streets. I mean, this is going to be a slam dunk. They were going to bomb a couple of the government officials who were going against the protesters, and then the protesters would take over. In essence, we would come in as this sounds like eerily the same as Iraq. We'd be greeted as liberators, essentially. Like, we would bomb the IRGC who was attacking the protesters, and the protesters would take over. And that was sold to him as like how easy this operation is going to be. Like, the protesters are already on the street, Mr. President. This is going to be just like Venezuela. Let's just launch it right now. He was still a little skeptical, and that's why the Israelis went, because we had the forces postured in the region. So, unfortunately, they did a really good job of creating the echo chamber or the Truman Show around him.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have God for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at theoxygenstore.com.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow grass fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available discounted at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex, but not really. We're playing my interview with Joe Kent. It is now live on X at Real Alex Jones. It's been posted there. I've reposted it at Harrison H. Smith. Please share those links, share the video, download it yourself, clip it out, put the clips up yourself. It's all there for you. So we're going to go right back into this interview for the remainder of this hour, pretty much. And we're going to pick up right where we left off with a question about the vetting process that American government officials have to go through and whether or not there's foreign influence involved in that. So back to my pre-recorded interview with Joe Kent. Find and share this on X at Real Alex Jones, at InfoWars. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. Let's pick it up where we left off. Yeah, they created a, you said they did a great job of creating the echo chamber and the Truman Show around them. And that's basically what it takes. Again, I think part of what is making people mad about your resignation and your letter, I think people like you were never supposed to get into the position that you were in. In fact, the Israel War Room on X, an official gold badge government account from Israel, quote tweeted Laura Loomer and said, "Who vetted this numbskull accusing Israel of forcing the U.S. into the Iraq war?" Seems to me like they were trying to vet this at a certain point, and you maybe slipped under the radar. They didn't want people with morals who would stand up and object to a war in Iran. And I've seen this, and I want to get into sort of the wider conflict going on behind the scenes in the Trump administration. But is Israel vetting our government officials for loyalty to Israel?
I don't think it comes across as exactly that way, but I think there are people, there's the powerful AIPAC lobby, on the House and the Senate side, and then the members of those committees who have to approve people like me, they have a lot of say and they have a lot of sway as well. So there is that unofficial, slash official, vetting channel. And then look, the Israelis just have a ton of access, into the White House, into the inner circle. And that comes from the donations, that comes from the media apparatus. So in a way, they are able to do a good deal of vetting, and they were uncomfortable with the coalition. They knew a lot of us came from a more restrained worldview. And also too, a lot of times these guys are really threatened by people who have spent a career deeply steeped in the region. I mean, spent a while in special forces. I worked in the CIA. I understand how this stuff works behind the scenes. And unless you're, if you have my background, they really want to make sure that you're on board 100% and you're not doing too much independent thinking, because we can kind of call this stuff out. They would much prefer people who have very little, experience in the, I would say the nitty gritty, or basically the boots on the ground truth, because they're much easier to pull the wool over their eyes and say, oh no, this intelligence came from Israel. It came from Mossad. You know, it's 100% good. So yeah, I think that's unfortunately the result is we do have Israel and their allies doing a lot of vetting and gatekeeping in the administration.
All right. So I think that is an extremely important thing to understand about how our government operates. You have to understand how this influence operates at every different level. So before you're ever even offered up, you know, as a potential for a position anywhere, the Counterterrorism Center in the case of Joe Kent, or the, you know, whatever the administration wants to put you in, if you're, you know, there for outreach to foreign countries, whatever it is, first and foremost, you have to guarantee that you're not one of these Nazis that doesn't support Israel 100% of the time. So before you're even, you know, suggested there's a vetting process, then once you're in the official vetting process, guess what all the questions you're asked pertain to? And I've heard this from multiple people who have either gotten positions or tried to get positions in the Trump White House or the Trump administration somewhere in the federal government. And they're like, yeah, half the questions are about Israel. Like, they really, really want to make sure that you're not going to have a Joe Kent situation on your hands. They want people who are already in line with the program, or else you're going to get cut off. So, you know, Joe Kent, even being in the position that he was in, was in a way a failure of the foreign influence who, other than Joe Kent, pretty much have a lock on anybody allowed into our country. That's crazy. And then they're the ones delivering the so-called intelligence that leads us to war. It's pervasive and it's pernicious at every level, this Israeli influence. It is a true, fully all of federal government coup that we have suffered under. More on the other side. Stay with us.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So, we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Alex Jones Show. Fourth hour is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I, of course, host The War Room, and I will be hosting The War Room today at 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. We got a big show for you prepared there, but I'm here just to intro the next part of the interview with Joe Kent. We've already seen a few minutes, but it's been a little bit broken up. If you want to see the whole thing all at once and download it yourself and share it yourself and upload it yourself and chop it up yourself, you got to go to X. Go to at Real Alex Jones, at InfoWars. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. Download the interview there and re-upload it yourself if you'd like, or just share it with your friends and family, or just save it for posterity. And by the way, I should mention, you know, we have all these new incredible products. And we have this awesome signature Faraday bag bundle. And even if you're not carrying around a Faraday bag all the time, you should probably, this is my advice, and I do this as well, you should have some sort of Faraday cage, some sort of, you know, EMF protected storage locker where you're keeping sensitive information, hard drives full of information, because it wouldn't take much. I mean, obviously there's the threat of nuclear war that is
really, really heating up these days, and detonating a nuclear weapon in the atmosphere causes a EMP effect, which destroys electronics on the grounds. Or it could be a sunspot that could wipe out electronics on the face of the Earth. And if and when that happens, you know your Google Drive is going to be accessible. It may be that your hard drives that you have at home are inaccessible. So anything really important that you really want to live into the future, it might be a good idea to keep it shielded and tucked away and saved somewhere. So even if you're not carrying around a Faraday bag like this, it might be good just to get the bag, stuff it full of hard drives, full of information, and just put it in a closet somewhere and save it just in case. Better safe than sorry. And, you know, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And that's just, you know, sort of a side benefit of having this incredibly cool and stylish bag, which I would carry around every day anyway. But I just thought I'd mention that because I heard Alex plugging it earlier, and I thought, yeah, this is exactly what everybody needs, a Faraday cage bag where you can keep, you know, your really important digital information just in case things go the way that we think they are. And, of course, if you get the America First Faraday bag today, it's actually stuffed with incredible products, including the Tactical Trench Knife, the America First T-shirt, plus you get MK Ultra plus Atomic Defense, Shilajit Gummies and the Shilajit Complex Capsules, the CMOS Gummies and the CMOS Capsules, plus Warcry Premium Salts. It's over $600 worth of products. You get it all for under $250. And VIP members get it all for under $200. It really is a ridiculous steal at $200 for VIP members. And of course, if you sign up to be a VIP member, it costs $30 a month. You can cancel anytime. You get $40 right away. So really, you're getting an extra $10 off if you sign up to be a VIP member and get the Faraday bag bundle today at thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today. And not only are you getting the incredible, just like ridiculous price on the Faraday bag and all of the goodies, but you also get a free limited edition InfoWars t-shirt when you subscribe to any product. That sale ends tonight. Also ending tonight is that every order, you know, of whatever you get, gets a free InfoWars mystery bundle. It's got mugs, decals, wristbands, and so much more. That sale ends tonight as well. So today is the day. Really, it's like the best sale we've ever had in a bunch of different ways. We've got the new Zeolite product that you can get for 72% off by signing up for that. Whatever you do, go to thealexjonesstore.com to make sure that we continue into the future, getting the incredible information that we get, getting the interviews that we get, and of course, asking questions that nobody else dares to ask. So we're going to go right back into this full interview of Joe Kent that I myself did last Friday. The full video is available at Infowars.com and on X at Real Alex Jones. Share those links, share the video, and share the word, folks, of what is being exposed here. Because again, I've said it so many times before, but one of the main purposes, really, of the mainstream media is to dictate what you're allowed to care about, what you should care about, to create patterns in your mind, even if they don't exist in the real world, and then to hide patterns that do exist in the real world. The example I've used before is things like the Black Lives Matter riots and the death of George Floyd. That was one death. It was an extremely rare event. And yet, in the way that the media covered it, in the way that they highlighted very rare and unique circumstances, it put the impression across to all of America that there was this massive plague of cops killing black men, innocent, unarmed black men. And that was the, you know, that idea was not only so convincing, but so powerful. It led to everybody going out into the streets and, you know, getting the defund the police program going. I mean, it had tangible, real world and devastating effects, but all predicated on this totally fake phenomenon, this totally non-existent pattern of unarmed black men being killed by police. Well, that's one side of the coin, is that they can take very unique and individual circumstances and then extrapolate it to say, oh, this is a trend we have to stop. It can go the other way as well. They can take things that should be recognized as a trend and they report on each individual instance as if it, you know, has nothing to do with anything else. And in that way, they are telling you the truth. They are telling you about it, but they're not actually providing the real context that you need to understand what's happening here is not unique and an individual instance and, you know, something unexpected. It's not a man bites dog type of story. No, this is a regular thing. In the same way, what Joe Kent has exposed by his resignation is being treated by the media as if it's Joe Kent that needs to be the center of attention. And we should talk about Joe Kent and ask about Joe Kent's, you know, position and where in his plan and all of this. No,
the person's not as important as the information he presented that shows that our country is under the hostile occupation of a foreign country. That's the important part. That's the part that the mainstream media is not highlighting, is not illustrating, is not even referencing, really. So it's up to us, and it's up to you to recognize you can come to these conclusions on your own. You don't need somebody to spoon feed them to you, right? So that was sort of the tack I was taking in this interview with Joe Kent, is trying to really emphasize what a big deal it is, the information that he's exposing. That in any other circumstance, if this had happened 50 years ago, the whole government would be shut down. I mean, this makes Watergate look like nothing. This makes any other scandal you care to mention in American history nothing. Bill Clinton lied about getting a BJ in the Oval Office. Big deal. Joe Kent just revealed that the Israeli government controls our government against our own interests. This is monumental. So let's get back to the interview. The full thing's available at Real Alex Jones. We pick it up right where we left off. My interview with great patriot and, as I put it, whistleblower Joe Kent. Let's watch. But you say there's a lot of you there. This was one of my questions, is you're sort of being treated as this rogue person that's broken from the consensus. Is there sort of an anti-Israel faction in the intelligence community? I doubt that's how they would define themselves, obviously. But are there more people sort of behind the scenes that you know of that are unhappy with the way things are going? Obviously, I don't want you to spill anything that you don't want everybody to know. But how prevalent is this type of mindset in the intelligence community, do you think?
So it's interesting. Within career IC officials who have spent a lot of time in the Middle East and have dealt with the Israelis, I would say most of them have a pretty clear-eyed view. They understand that Israel runs a lot of game against us.
All right, hold on. Sorry, you cut out again. Israel runs a lot of game against us, and then you cut out. So there's a lot of people in the IC that understand this. They run a game. Israel, pulls some tricks on us.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, so most career IC people will acknowledge that, you know, Israel is a very competent intelligence service. They run game against us. They pursue their objectives while telling us how much they're completely in line with us. And also they're very competent. So they're good at what they do, which makes them a decent partner in some regard. But most people in the IC who've dealt with them a lot are very skeptical. Now, however, there is so much pressure usually from political appointees, regardless of which party, to say that Israel is our number one, you know, partner and ally. And like, basically it's just like dealing with us. Which again, if you've been around for a while, especially in the IC or in the military, you understand that that's just simply not the case. But a lot of the politicals that come in, they don't view it that way. They understand that they basically have to say, hey, whatever the Israelis want, you know, we'll provide to them. Now, within the Trump administration, I think it's interesting, especially this go around, we had a lot of people from our coalition, who were a little bit more skeptical of Israel. I wouldn't say anti-Israel, but just skeptical, and understood that we have our objectives and they have theirs. And so, you know, there was a lot of friction points where there was a lot of us that were saying, hey, we need to be more skeptical about what Israel is trying to sell us with regards to this regime change war, in Iran. And a lot of those voices were blocked, in the lead up to this last iteration of the war.
You know, what you did by resigning, which again, I think is the most honorable thing you can do, either, you know, if you're against the thing that your commander in chief is doing, you have two choices to either go along with it and violate your own conscience or you could try to undermine him. Obviously, you're not that type of person. You're not going to go in and be subversive, even if you disagree. You said, this is why I'm quitting. This is what I disagree with. I think you did in the best possible way. And yet what you did has been called a coup. And this seems ridiculous. I think this is a complete inversion of reality. What you did, in my interpretation, was expose a coup. It seems like there has been a coup against the federal government, and that you, as the second highest person in our intelligence community at large, to come out and expose this, this is not being treated with the seriousness that I think it deserves, because it's about Israel and, you know, people are afraid to go there. Seems to me like there's been a coup against America performed by Israel. Is that too extreme of a thing to say?
A year ago, I would have said, yeah, but right now at this point, based on what I've seen over the course of the last,
year. And then when you take that data and you look at basically the trajectory and the history of our wars in the Middle East in my lifetime, at least over the last 25 years, you see Israel has stood to gain from all of them. Israel's advocated for all of these different wars, but especially in the last year, watching the Israelis come in, move President Trump's red line to the ecosystem I described, and aggressively push this regime change war. I don't think saying it's a coup is putting it too lightly. I mean, a lot of people will push back and say, no, it's not a coup whatsoever. We want this. And they'll go back to that same narrative that us and Israel have the same goals. But actually, I think more and more, the more time that goes on in this war that we're in right now, we can see that us and Israel just do not have the same goals. When the president of the United States gets out there and says he can't say who he's negotiating with in Iran because he's afraid that they'll be killed, and everyone knows he's talking about they'll be killed by the Israelis because the Israelis have been killing the moderates and killing the negotiators. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know. And then also what Secretary Rubio and many others said at the beginning of the war, that we had to attack because we knew the Israelis were going to attack, which would result in attacks on our forces. The obvious question, I think, of anybody who's not even deeply steeped in foreign policy would be like, well, hey, who's calling the shots here? And that seems weird because we pay for Israel essentially to be able to defend itself.
Right. And I mean, you know, the way you're describing, when you lay it out in a timeline, it's like, you know, Israel, it's admitted now. I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu has said Mossad was, you know, a part of the protest in Iran that they were hoping to use to overthrow the government. So it's like they're creating the protest that they then use to get Trump to stage things. And then they launch the attack or say they're going to launch the attack, which gets us to go do it. I mean, time and time again, it seems like Israel is not just pushing us into this. Now they're saying, and I have the headline here, Israel vows to escalate strikes on Iran as Trump pauses attacks on energy sites. So even as Trump is trying to negotiate and sort of simmer things down, Israel is only expanding and accelerating. So, like, to me, it begs the question, are our objectives and our interests misaligned with Israel, or are they at odds with Israel? And is Israel maybe not just not a great ally, but maybe not an ally at all? I mean, do you think that Israel even really benefits America in any way or has any goodwill towards America? Or are we sort of their enemy?
I mean, look, it's all about us reasserting our dominance in the relationship. I mean, look, the Israelis are pretty good at hunting down terrorists and killing them, and they can give us information about that. And usually, you know, the guy that they will say is a terrorist, like, not all the time will they threaten us, but sometimes. And so I just think this is a lack of us understanding that us and the Israelis are different. The Israelis do a very slick job of having a bunch of dual citizens come and liaise with us. And it's a guy who, you know, went to school in Florida or Ohio or whatever. And so you're like, oh, I'm not even dealing with a foreigner. They're good at doing that. They put forward a very good presentation, but it's on us to realize that every single country, every single intelligence liaison service that we work with, they are seeking to influence us. That's the way the game is played. Americans, because we're kind of the big dog, I don't think we're used to having to influence people necessarily. So a lot of this is kind of dead to us, or dead to our senses. So we're failing to understand that this is a foreign country that has its own set of strategic goals. And these strategic goals right now, especially in this case, are drastically different than ours. And like, if you look at the last 25 years of our wars in the Middle East, only Israel has benefited from them. We have not benefited from them whatsoever. So it's time for us just to kind of sober up and say, you know, you can have your, we have different opinions on Israel. I think right now, until we reassert ourselves as the dominant ones in the relationship, they will continue to treat us as if like we're their employee. And I just think that that's completely wrong, for any foreign country to treat our country that way, especially when we're paying for their entire defense.
Right. And of course, you know, I believe you talked about this with Tucker saying, look, it's not their fault they're trying to negotiate or trying to sway us and influence us. It's our fault for, you know, trusting them in certain regards or going along with them in certain ways. Not to put words in your mouth, but obviously they're going to try to influence. It's Americans who should be the bulwark and say, well, is this actually good for Americans or not? If it is, great, we'll go along with Israel. If it's not, sorry, you're on your own. That seems very reasonable to me. How much does blackmail come into it? I mean, how much do you think the Epstein files and blackmail networks has to do with why America is so willing to go along with Israel?
You know, that I don't know. We were kept completely, the Epstein files were all under lock and key by the DOJ, but the fact that they even kept them under that much lock and key and were just so odd, so weird about them, when literally we had people on this
ticket and in this administration who, when we were outside the government, were demanding for the release of the files. And now it's heavily redacted. You know, people are, you know, we were told by President Trump we shouldn't even be asking about Epstein. I mean, if you don't want people to think that there's like a ton of blackmail in there, you don't behave like that. And look, I don't think the Israel, I don't think the Epstein files have anything on Trump, because I think it would have come out already by now. That's just my guess. But clearly there's something in there, that's pretty dark, pretty dangerous, and speaks to, you know, a broader, I guess, conspiracy, for lack of better terms, like a true conspiracy, not a, I'm trying to discredit them conspiracy.
Right.
I just honestly, I don't know. And again, this is a place where we should demand transparency from our government.
And of course, this was somewhere, that you were aligned with Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was pushing for the Epstein file release and got a lot of flack for that. He also was, as you said, one of the only, if not the only voice in Trump's ear, arguing against attacking Iran in the run-up to Operation Midnight Hammer and the war in June. And of course, you know, you've been sort of central since your resignation letter to the discussions about Charlie Kirk being assassinated, possibly by a conspiracy and possibly by international forces. When did that first arise? When did the idea that foreign elements may have been involved or may just have knowledge of Charlie Kirk's assassination prior to the event, when did that first arise to your awareness?
Right after the assassination. I mean, we just started doing our basic investigatory duties, which obviously the FBI looks into all the U.S. persons that were involved. But because Charlie had an international following and he was a national figure, we started looking into this as well. And we found some foreign nexus leads, and I'm not saying a foreign government, I'm not saying necessarily foreign individuals, but there was foreign nexuses that we needed to look into more, and immediately the FBI had issues with that, and they kicked us out of reviewing all of that. This went through a couple of different iterations where we asked for some more access to look into things that were well within our purview, questions that I think are still unanswered, and we were pretty much, you know, shut out of that. And so that's always been my stipulation, and I just think if you look at the Kirk assassination on a broader timeline, I mean, Charlie was very much against the war in Iran. He was advocating against it in June. That was the last time I saw him, you know, as I described on Tucker. There was other people that he was talking with then too that can confirm that Charlie was there advocating against the war. And then obviously after Midnight Hammer, I think Charlie, like a lot of us, said, okay, fine, we bombed the nuclear facilities. Now that issue's off the table. We're done. We still want to make sure we don't get involved in a further, you know, regime change war. And I think Charlie knew that the issue wasn't dead after Midnight Hammer, that it was still going to require some more lobbying. That's just my guess. He didn't tell me that. I can't pretend to be like best friends with Charlie or anything. But it's obvious that in the lead up to this iteration, there wasn't a prominent outside dissenting voice that was in Trump's ear in the way that Charlie had been before. And so, look, I just think you need to look into all of these different possibilities and look at the murder of Charlie Kirk, the assassination of Charlie Kirk on a broader timeline to make sure that we're fully doing our due diligence and Charlie, and there's actually justice for Charlie.
And you do that with any murder, even of somebody with no public profile. The first question people ask is there anyone that would want to hurt this person, right? When the body is found, they go to the people closest and say, did they have any enemies? So obviously that's where you start, and you're going to want to cross those off the list. Now people are blaming you, for, you know, an eventuality where potentially, this Robinson suspect gets let off. But obviously if they have suspicious things that they should be looking at, but that they're choosing not to, I mean, that's on them. And if people out there are saying this is a Brady violation where there may be evidence out there that's being withheld from the defense, I mean, you're not the investigator. You're not the one withholding the evidence. Just what is your response to people who are mad that you brought this up? Just from my perspective, it's like, this is a murder investigation. These are the proper processes to take. The suspicious and the questionable thing is who comes in and disrupts that process. That wasn't you. You were trying to follow the process. The FBI came in and disrupted it. So what would be your response to people who are mad at you about just telling the truth?
Yeah, so something that the FBI would say to us frequently, regardless of what investigation, so Charlie Kirk's investigation, any kind of investigation that we were conducting with the FBI, which means there's Americans involved, is they would say, hey, if you guys investigate this, whatever this is, if you guys investigate any aspect of this case, you could be subpoenaed by the defense technically you can be subpoenaed by the prosecution too, but they said usually it's the defense that's going to subpoena you, and put you on the stand. And to that I always said, okay, I understand that. I'm fine with showing my work in the appropriate environment. But if there's still more leads for us to investigate, I care more about the case and running down all the leads so I can know that I did everything I could to bring about the truth. And if I end up on the witness stand, so be it. So I know that the headline was misconstrued and people said like Kent's volunteering to testify on Tyler Robinson's behalf. There's not a thing I can really say that's, I mean, if Tyler Robinson took the shot and his DNA is on the gun, whatever, there's nothing I can say there because he's an American. I spent very little time looking at the evidence that's going to convict Tyler Robinson or not convict Tyler Robinson. I was looking at a lot of the foreign linkage, the people who had pre-knowledge, et cetera. So again, like when the FBI came and said, hey, if you continue to look into this, you could be subpoenaed by the defense, to which, you know, my answer on that case and others was, okay, that's fine. I have no issues of showing the work that the people that myself and the people who worked for me were doing.
All right. So I mean, if we're going to stop it there. We got a quick commercial break and we're going to go right into it on the other side. Again, this is my full exclusive interview with Joe Kent. We get more into Charlie Kirk. We get into all of it. And I ask the questions that nobody else is going to ask, including whether or not this was all a giant op, you know, being run by the CIA. Because, you know, I'm on X, I see all these claims, and when I have a chance to ask the person straight to their face, that's exactly what I do. So we'll pick it up on the other side. Some of the most bombshell stuff is still to come in this incredible interview with Joe Kent. Find and share it on X at Real Alex Jones. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. I'll be doing the War Room 3 to 6 today, but in the final segment of the Alex Jones Show, we go back to the Joe Kent interview. We get into some of the juiciest bits. Stay with us. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexjonesstore.com. We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this, and then looking at how they're organically derived, and how each ingredient itself is a game-changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. This is the Alex Jones Show.
All right, folks, welcome back. I'm Harrison Smith sitting in for Alex Jones. We're going to go right to the end of this interview with Joe Kent. Full thing online at Real Alex Jones. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. I'll be hopping over to the War Room studio where we'll pick up at 3 p.m. just as soon as this show's over. But stay tuned. Giant show on War Room. The last part of this interview is really the juiciest piece of all of it. So stay tuned. Support us, please, by going to the AlexJonesStore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And with that, go to at Real Alex Jones, at Harrison H. Smith, share this full interview with Joe Kent, and here's the end of it. If there was no evidence, you know, that there was foreign involvement, then that would be great. You'd get to go up and say, we looked into it, we chased the thread to the end of the line, and there was nothing there. So, you know, case closed. That would actually be beneficial, which again is like, they're not doing that. Then what is the real motivation? Maybe there is something there. I want to ask you about just going back in time and sort of the entirety of the second Trump administration. I have been witnessing little signs that there's an intense struggle going on behind the scenes between the sort of America First anti-interventionalist faction and the Israel First interventionalist faction. Signalgate would be sort of the best example. Were you there and aware of what was going on during Signalgate? You had Mike Waltz, who, according to, you know, the official reports, had intense coordination with Netanyahu on the Iran strike, contributed to his firing eventually. He became the UN ambassador, so, you know, not exactly disgraced. But, I mean, it seems to me like there's a big battle going on behind the scenes continually between people like Mike Waltz that are working with the Netanyahus out there and the Pete Hegseth, you know, J.D. Vance side, which understands the cost of war and it doesn't want to send people. How accurate is that view?
Yeah, there's definitely a tension, I'd say, between the more traditional Republican wing of the party that are more pro-use of force. And then a lot of that in the Middle East does align heavily, and there's a lot of influence, as we talked about earlier, from the Israel side. And then, yeah, you have folks like the Vice President, Dina Gabbard, et cetera, who are much more restrained, I would say, and much more realistic. And honestly, I think early in the administration, it was good to have multiple points of view, and it was good to have a robust debates about them behind closed doors. And I think in Signalgate, unfortunately, you know, a reporter got added to that, and that's how it all kind of came out. But you did see initially the VP was expressing some skepticism. I was, you know, trying to say, hey, we have some time to make these decisions. So you could see where there was some debate going on behind the scenes. My issue over the last couple of months, especially in the lead up to this war, is that a lot of the dissenting voices were kept out of the decision making process. And I know my skeptics and the critics in the administration will say, well, that's because you're not in the primary cabinet, Joe. Like, you didn't rate that level, which is fine. I understand that the president has the purview. He has the prerogative. He can have whoever he wants in the room. But from where I was, I didn't see the dissenting voices, you know, being allowed access to the president. And I think had there been just a one or two of those dissenting voices, I don't think we would have plunged headlong into this crisis in the manner that we did.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't even think you need to be inside to be able to see that. I was speculating that that was what was going on just from the little hints I was seeing from what was made public. I mean, do you think the Signalgate scandal was truly an accident? I mean, do you think it was accidentally sent to this guy, or do you think this was something that was maybe, you know, manufactured a little bit behind the scenes? Because it seemed to me like it was an attempt to blame the leak and everything on Pete Hegseth to try to get him out of the way. It seemed like they were, because even at that same time you had, I can't remember who it was, but another sort of underling, I think, of Hegseth also got ousted. Maybe it was got made. There were a couple people at that time that were the, you know, clearly America First anti-interventionist people that were forced out for one reason or another. It seemed to me like they were just trying to get barriers out of the way to get to that war in Iran. So do you think Signalgate was a real accident, you know, accidental leak, or was this all a media campaign to oust the anti-interventionist people?
Man, if it was an accident, it's like one of the biggest coincidences ever. I mean, of all the journalists to accidentally add to the chat, you know, like it wasn't a guy from Fox. It wasn't a guy from, you know, even just a run of the mill Reuters. It was literally one of the Russiagate Atlantic, Jonah Goldberg.
Right.
I mean, so I was always a little skeptical that it was an accident, you know, but I don't have any like concrete proof of that. Maybe it was like just the dumbest luck ever, but you know,
it's
hard to believe in.
Yeah,
it's hard to believe it was that coincidental.
And it's the guy who was, you know, basically caught, you know, negotiating in secret with Netanyahu before Netanyahu gets to, I mean, he got fired for that. So this isn't even like speculation or conspiracy theory. It's just like, no, these are the facts as we know it. If you want to believe that's a coincidence, you know, more power to you. But I have trouble believing that totally. I got to ask you, because I'm sure you've seen the chatter online. There are people that are suspicious of you for a number of different reasons and from a number of different angles. Some of the sort of more prominent people like Nick Fuentes or even Whitney Webb have accused you of playing a part in sort of a CIA long game to try to save J.D. Vance's career as president. I mean, what is your response? Are you aware of these rumors, and what do you have to say in response to these claims?
I haven't seen those ones, so that's interesting. So like some kind of a deep state 6D chess. I don't know how that would work, but that's not true. I don't know what else to say.
That's what I figured. Yeah, well, it's about this Peter Thiel nexus, and the idea, I guess, is that they're worried that the war in Iran is going to mess up J.D. Vance's potential to become president, and so they're sort of maneuvering to make J.D. Vance representational of the anti-war faction on the right, which it's like, okay, would that even, is that even a clandestine thing that you do? It seems like they're kind of being open about that. Like, no, J.D. Vance is the guy that wants to do the negotiations and all that. But what is your thought on Peter Thiel and J.D. Vance and sort of the way that Palantir is involved in all of this? There was a ex-Palantir executive whistleblower that said, quote, Palantir intends to take over the United States government while heavily funding the effort, and quote, the enemy is within and we are currently an occupied nation. So what role does Palantir play in all of this, and Peter Thiel, and what's your thought on that whole nexus?
Palantir has kind of been on the forefront of a lot of the technology that we've used in the, you know, intelligence and special operations realm for probably a decade and a half now. And they kind of went from being like a scrappy startup to now, you know, pretty powerful. And so I do think, but there's this competition everywhere. You'd find this with some of the bigger defense contractors as well, where whoever can basically be the backbone and provide the architecture for kind of our conversion into more AI systems in the DOD and in the government, like they're going to become very, very wealthy and very powerful. And I think Palantir is probably the most forward leaning on that. In terms of Thiel and the network and all that, I don't know. I know Fuentes said, like, I have some relationship with Thiel. Thiel donated, he did a max individual donation of like, I think $5,000 or $6,000 to my first campaign in 22. And that's the extent of my dealing with Peter Thiel, personally. I know the vice president, I think, has a better relationship with him, but I honestly can't provide much clarity there. I know they also deal with Israel, so maybe there's an Israel angle there as well. But the most negative influence I saw in our government was what we just talked about, was the Israelis.
Yeah. Well, it's good. I'm glad you cleared that up, because there are rumors running wild. And I mean, do you think it's it's dangerous to have Palantir, this, you know, AI technology sort of insinuating itself into ICE and the war fighting capabilities. I mean, are you suspicious of how this may be used in the future when another administration comes in, that we're maybe building a very powerful tyrannical technology? Are you worried about that?
I am. Yeah, I am. And I feel that way about AI in general. And giving that central node, whether it's Palantir or somebody else, you know, to the federal government, it's scary. I mean, it's very dangerous. I mean, in particular in times of war, like we're about to find ourselves in, and even like I'm a huge fan of the mass deportations. I think we need to do a lot more. But even with a national emergency like that, there was a potential for having civil rights, you know, eroded, where we need a real active media and we need people really checking the work of the government. So I share every concern that people have, especially with just how dangerous AI is, and the erosion. I mean, hey, the Patriot Act was born out of 9/11. And so if we see a domestic terror attack because of that, some form of blowback terrorism from the war that we're in right now, or the fact that Biden let in millions of illegals, many of whom have ties to terrorist organizations, and Palantir's there waiting in the wings for this to happen, to drop in some kind of state surveillance, or maybe not even necessarily Palantir. It could be Lockheed Martin, Boeing, or some company we haven't even heard of. That's a major concern. And so again, back to the pattern recognition, just like of dumb wars in the Middle East, I think all of us really need to have our guard up right now, for any potential of having more of our civil rights taken away.
Absolutely. And again, this gets to the divide of MAGA. And I mean, it's disastrous for the future of our country if you're actually a conservative and you care about this stuff. I don't want the Democrats to take over, but it feels like the GOP, just like the Trump White House, has been hijacked by these pernicious influences that do not care about America. And I'm not alone in feeling that. I don't know if you saw the video that came out today. We're filming this Friday. CPAC, a guy gets up and goes, "Who here wants Trump impeached?" And half the crowd cheers. And he's like, "Oh, never mind, never mind."
How many of you would like to see impeachment hearings? No. That was the wrong answer. Let me try it again. How many of you would like to see impeachment hearings? No. Can someone bring some coffee out for the people of CPAC?
Yeah, no, that's what I know.
We've got to keep this House majority. How many of you agree with that?
This is really bad for the Republicans, right? I mean, how does Trump not realize this? How does even Lindsey Graham? It's like, dude, don't you understand that, like, if the left gets back in power, they are not going to leave you alone. They're not going to leave any of us alone. So, like, what is going on politically, and how do you see this MAGA divide? How do we bridge it? Do we need a third party? It's just, I mean, that's a lot of questions, but just like this political situation is devastating. How do we handle this?
It is. The one of the big problems is the Truman Show factor, like you mentioned, or the echo chamber at the White House. Like, this blew me away coming into the administration. And the administration, I think, was built on the back of the MAGA movement was built on the back of podcasters and posts on social media. It was, hey, the mainstream media hates us. We've got to circumvent them. And that was like one of the things that Trump was famous for.
Yeah.
But once we got in power, man, suddenly all we cared about was what, like, the New York Times and the New York Post and Fox News, who Fox News wouldn't have Trump on their dang programs for freaking, what, 3 years? So all of a sudden we suddenly cared what these guys think. And, you know, and President Trump's out there. It's like surreal. He's like, oh, CNN says that the war in Iran is at 100% rating with MAGA. And I'm like, well, of course your enemy is telling you to do the thing that's going to destroy you.
Right.
Like, this is basic here. So I frankly, and this is why I've been making such a concerted effort to go on, all of the MAGA podcasts, because I think the podcast sphere is being overlooked. And I think it was a very powerful driver of the base, of the movement that got Trump the popular vote and the Electoral College vote. So what I think we need to do is get vocal. I mean, things like CPAC, that just shows you that actually the Truman Show thing is real. When you've got whatever his name is, Schlapp up there, who's a longtime GOP operative, who thinks that, like, morale is going to be high in MAGA right now. It's just insane to me, because I've been watching clips of young kids getting interviewed at CPAC, and a lot of them are somewhat, I mean, they're there, so they're not fully blackpilled, but they're mad about the war. So Trump's got to start listening to his base, which used to be one of his strong suits. I hope he returns to the old Trump that could, like, basically hang out on Twitter for a bit and understand, like, the general vibe and kind of create a movement based on that. I do think we're going to have to be much more serious going into 2028 about this issue of war for and foreign influence. We're going to need to have a much more rigorous vetting system, because really at the end of the day, the president, the executive branch can really affect foreign policy. A lot of the other policies they can't affect as directly because they get blocked by the courts. They need Congress. It's a state issue, et cetera. And this issue of war and peace and foreign policy, and because it affects so many other things, it's got to be a key issue. And especially because I think we kind of got bait and switched here in this administration.
That's absolutely certainly how it feels. Obviously there's talk of boots on the ground. We're praying with everything we've got that doesn't, come to fruition. But you have a lot of experience, boots on the ground, 11 tours. I mean, you've experienced it. What would it be like, for the Marines or the 82nd Airborne to try to take Karg Island, just for the man on the ground? What would that experience be like if you could imagine?
Eventually, at some point, it becomes a bloodbath. It's just when it becomes a bloodbath is the question. And this is something that I think we fail to do frequently in America, is look at the battlefield through our enemy's eyes. If I'm an Iranian commander right now, I am praying that ground troops are committed to one of the islands or somewhere on mainland Iran, because that is a gift. And as a matter of fact, if I were them, I would let us come in and not have a shot fired. I'd let us take some ground and hold it. Yeah. And get overconfident, and then I would rain down hellfire. I'd rain down ballistic missiles. I'd rain down drones. I would basically make them my hostages, because the Iranians have proven, basically from what they've done in the Gulf, they've got plenty of ballistics. They've got plenty of drones. We can't track all of them. We can't shoot all of them down. If we become a static target somewhere for any duration of time, especially on one of these islands, we're going to be sitting ducks. And like, it doesn't matter how tough and courageous our guys are. It's hard to be tough and courageous when you're in the sights of a bunch of a drone swarm, you know, right. Or a ballistic missile barrage, as we've seen so far with the way our bases have been, basically made combat ineffective in the entire Gulf region. So, I am praying, and I'm really hoping that President Trump uses some common sense here. What I fear is happening, though, is that you have CENTCOM, which is a big war machine, and it has been for quite some time, and they're really good at coming up with a ton of ideas on how to employ this unit and that unit, and I think they're probably all getting thrown at the SecDef and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs right now, and they probably sound really good. And again, that artificial high we have after Venezuela, I fear that the president is going to think that we can kind of swoop in there with some kind of a force, and I don't know if it's grab the islands, I don't know if it's go somewhere else. And then we're going to get committed. And then once we're committed and once we take casualties, then we go into the cycle that we were in for basically the entire war on terror, where it's like, we can't leave now because we took losses. We have to honor our dead by fighting on. We can't leave in humiliation like Biden did in Afghanistan. And then we're in the cycle that becomes almost impossible for us to extract ourselves from.
Yeah. Yeah, it's we're the gambler sitting. All of our chips are gone. We're looking at the ATM, going, maybe I can make it all back. Maybe one more load of cash. And then,
yes.
So it's sunk cost fallacy. And the longer we're in this, the worse it gets.
100%.
Gosh, it's just brutal. Just final question. You now join the ranks of many who have left. Well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but just when I think of you and I think of Tucker Carlson and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and so many people that were like the best champions of MAGA, and yet they've been, you know, put off to the side by the Trump administration. There's such a powerful contingent, and I think there's a lot of people on the left that are also sick of the foreign influence. Is this a time for a third party? Is that a possibility, do you think? Would you be open to that type of idea politically? How do we shatter the control that the two-party system gives to our enemies?
I would actually be very open to it. And if not a full third party, I think having basically a nonpartisan unity, I don't know if it'd be a super PAC or just a unit, an organizing principle that says, hey, we don't really care what your other policies are, but if you're against foreign influence in our government, in particular, the Israeli influence in our government, and you're against us getting involved in more endless wars, then we are political allies, in particular when it comes to the executive branch. Because again, I mean, the president's, he has full control over our foreign policy. Everywhere else, he needs to work with the other branches of government and things get tricky, which is the reason why I think presidents actually end up liking foreign policy so much.
Right.
Because it's hard to control other things, but they can be like the man when it comes to foreign policy. And so if we had a bipartisan group, and I was on the Young Turks last night, and, you know, I think there's a lot on the left and the right where we might not agree on abortion, tax codes, healthcare, et cetera. But we are aligned on, we don't want foreign governments running our government, and we don't want to get involved in any more, you know, endless wars. I think we could be a political force to be reckoned with, either as an independent ticket or really just as an element that's going to play a key role in every primary, on both sides of the aisle going forward, to make this a hot button issue, to put politicians on the record to say, hey, if you want to win the nomination, you need this voting block. And I think the more young people that start voting and stay mobilized, especially ones that are listening to, you know, the podcast, alternative media, I think there's something real there that can't be overlooked, you know, by fake CNN polls and, you know, Fox News, you know, hype videos about the next war.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to thank you so much for, obviously, for everything that you've done, and of course for giving us your time. This has been absolutely incredible, and I really can't wait to see what you do next, because I think you've really earned a lot of respect from those of us that truly understand what you've done and what a big deal it is. Just as a final note on the topic of podcasting and podcasters, it's funny because they want to denigrate podcasts. They call us all sorts of names. They claim that you're doing what you're doing for views, even though you don't have a podcast and they do. It's all a little bit incoherent, their argument. But they also at the same time are saying this is an eighth front war. We have to win the minds of the world. We have to launch all of these, you know, censorship programs or, you know, podcasts of our own. How important is it that we have these conversations, that podcasts be made? Is this an exercise in futility? We're just talking and nothing's getting done. How do we transform podcast into action? You know, what do you think about the attempt to discredit podcast as a platform right now?
I mean, because Mark Levin and Laura Loomer are screaming about it, you can tell it's something they don't want us doing, because they know that we're reaching an entire demographic that actually, in my view, they're the ones who got President Trump to win it, definitely the popular vote and probably the Electoral College vote as well. The people who had never voted before, the crossover voters, et cetera. This is the way that we reach the masses. And everything else is just legacy media and the people who want limited debate, like still screaming for relevancy and control. So I think the growing influence of the podcast sphere is actually kind of a white pill. It is still like a way, and there's obviously, you know, there's podcasts that get co-opted and there's money and all that stuff, but still I do think the way to get an authentic message through is platforms like this. So I'm grateful for you guys having me, and I think we just got to keep it up.
Well, we're thankful for everything that you did, and we'd love to talk again soon. And again, I hope this is just the beginning of your career and your you know, ability to impact America in a positive way. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Joe.
Absolutely, great to be with you guys. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, everybody, that's Joe Kent, whistleblower who resigned his position as head of the National Counterterrorism Center, opposition and in protest of the Iran war. Absolutely incredible stuff. Again, I don't think that, well, clearly the media is not covering this with the seriousness it deserves, but I think the common knowledge about this needs to be Joe Kent exposed a coup in our country. And until we solve that, nothing else is getting solved. So very powerful stuff. Thank you for watching. I'm Harrison Smith for Infowars.com. Support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. And keeping us on the air and in the fight, no matter what comes next, we will be here telling you the truth and holding these great conversations with incredible patriots.
Let me do this. The folks at Bigley, about 7-8 months ago, came out with this top-of-the-line Faraday cage backpack with all these special pockets, super high quality. I'd previously bought a bag for myself personally like this, similar brand, for $500. The problem was they only got 500 of these. Well, guess what? They got a couple thousand of them finally in. It took 7-8 months. It's a $600 value, just the bag, for $249. But guess what comes in it? America First Faraday bag, America First tactical trench knife. It's badass. America First t-shirt, MK Ultra atomic defense supplements, Shilajit gummy, Shilajit capsules, Irish CMOS capsules,
WarCry premium product, and more. And VIP members get it for $199. Also, as you can now read in the newspapers, the Texas receiver is saying he's not going to pay the rent or the bills. So you guys wondering if he's shut down tomorrow, 2 weeks from now? I'm going to just wait till the lights turn off, okay? You'll probably see InfoWars go down the site. You see streaming shut down. Once we can't do it, we have the All Shows Network built at Big Leone's, and I'm going to go over and do it there. But I'm going to ride this horse till it dies. I'm going to ride this race car till the engine blows or the wheels come off. Or I crash into the embankment. I ain't giving up. I'm riding this horse till I win or I lose. And then the media's like, oh, he's finally going to lose. Oh, yeah, all right. I am the InfoWar. Our listeners are the InfoWar. And we got a whole line. Here's the first one of limited edition Veterans of the InfoWar t-shirts. Look at this. This is badass. And it's the troops on Iwo Jima raising the American flag with the InfoWars patch where the stars are. InfoWars lives forever. It is an amazing limited edition shirt. Look at that bad boy. And it funds this operation, but also the Alex Jones Network to keep us on the air. We need funds. We want to get more reporters back and expand, but we need your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at TheAlexJonesStore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at TheAlexJonesStore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster, louder. Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.